PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
He confuses me, and I don't need confusing. I'm screwed up already. I learned stuff on Mars, and then New York. Dead. Everybody was just dead. I keep wanting to cry, but my throat, it's not big enough. Dan, can we sit down?
Lori, listen, about us. Do you think John minds?
It doesn't matter. After New York, nothing matters. That's what I'm trying to say. Dan, please, sit with me. I need you. Dan, all those people, they're dead. They can't disagree or eat Indian food or love each other. It's sweet. Being alive is so damn sweet.
Lori, what do you want me to do?
I want you to love me. I want you to love me because we are not dead. Here, take these off. I want to see you. I want to see you and taste you and smell you. Just because I can. What is that, Dan? What's that you smell of?
Nostalgia.
This is the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines.
Stay calm. Stay calm. I'm a relatively respectable citizen. Multiple felon, perhaps, but certainly not dangerous.
Still humping the American dream. That vision of the big winner somehow emerging from the last-minute pre-dawn chaos. What was I doing? What was the meaning of this trip? Was I just roaming around in a drug frenzy of some kind?
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Yeah, that's right, here we go! Episode 256 of Cinema Crespediso is underway. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling in the Cinema Crespediso studio.
That was ridiculous.
That was ridiculous. How's it going?
I loved it.
That was so 90s. We have to add it in.
I felt like it was 1997 all over again.
Everything old is new again.
There always is. Sure, I do have a new teaser to show you.
Actually, I do know the 90s are back. I was doing some clothes shopping today, and you know what I saw at Ross?
Jenko's.
I saw a Maui and Sons. Maui and Sons sweater. Like old school, straight up, like somebody took it out of the closet from the 90s.
Were you at Ross or Goodwill?
You can find them at Goodwill. Yeah. Ross or
Maui and Sons.
Right, the same thing. Guys, it's the 90s, and we're doing episode 256, straight out of 1997. I got your current threat level, though. The threat level straight up 2017. Current threat level is khaki. Current threat level is khaki. Your nightmares could not be saved. With me is Schuster Cogburn.
What up, dude?
What's up, dude?
I'm roaming around in a drug frenzy of some sort. See? Nope. Can't even talk. I'm so wasted.
Oh, boy. Someone get this guy some real good.
Give me some good stuff.
With us, returning guest last week, we had a 10-time guest. This week, a 9-time guest. One of our favorites. He is here, ladies and gentlemen, from a podcast within a podcast. Chico's Brain himself, the holder of the brain. Chico is here. Yeah, yeah.
What's going on, folks?
How you doing, Chico?
How y'all doing?
Good to see you, buddy.
So does your body have a podcast as well, or only your brain?
It does, but it's only on Cam 4.
Okay.
You gotta pay me in gold
tokens
for that.
Yeah, man.
Can I see some
bring.
It's just my body. No, that's it, constantly. That sound haunts my nightmares.
Bring.
It just means I have to do more stuff.
And sometimes worse stuff.
Like, why did I write that on the driver's board?
Because you're a glutton for punishment, that's why.
It just creeps me out because the screen name is It's Your Dad 94. And I'm like, I hope it's not my dad.
94, though. It's your 94th dad. Guys, we are here with another wonderful episode of Cinema Crespo. So thank you all so much for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. PFT Media is in full effect. PFT Radio Network, we're doing our thing. And we'll all over you.
Right? In the face.
In the face.
Toast to the face. Toast to the face. What's with everything to the face today,
everything
guys?
To the face.
To the face. Guys, we have a fun show for you. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. But before we do that, let's get some quick business out of the way. And it's kind of a sad thing. We mentioned it real quick in the bonus episode that we did a couple of nights ago. But a few more people listened to the normal Sunday show. So we still got to bring it up. Our homie, Billy Helveston, Hurricane Bill. We love the gentleman, but he passed away. Lost a battle with depression this week. And we lost him on Monday. It's been a weird, tough week. He affected a lot of people, and you know, it's one of those things where the guy's gone. If he could have seen the outpouring of love and support in the wake, you know, maybe he would have felt differently. Maybe
you don't see it when you're in.
When you're deep down in that hole, man, there ain't.
It doesn't.
I guess so. Yeah. Nothing could have maybe shown that light onto him. That's a bummer. It's real sad. So
I know people get mad and they say people are selfish when they do that. That's something that comes up a lot. People are very selfish.
I guess the
act of it itself is, but I don't think it's you can't just trivialize it by saying it's just a selfish thing.
Right.
Because when you're in that hole, you're not thinking of anybody else. It is. You're just thinking of yourself, but you just want to get away.
Yeah. You're in a weird, perverse place, unfortunately, where you're like, you know. People, there are some people who do love you and would miss you, but you're in a place where you feel like, you know what, if I'm gone, it would probably just be better for them to not have to deal with this stuff. It could be a thought process,
right. And so, sometimes that's an early on thought, like by the time you get to the point where you're actually going to do it, there's no other thoughts except this needs to end. And the only way I need, that's it, I'm just ending this.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. It's really sad. So you can go to Twitter, PFT Media, @PFT Media, and pinned to the top of the profile, so you don't have to go do any scrolling. Mm-hmm. There's the GoFundMe page that Rocky Soka from What's the Fuss set up. Right now, it's got like a little over $7,000, which is all going towards helping with memorial service and with cremation expenses, and also to pay for a plaque that they're going to put at his parents' the tomb, the grave, whatever they have. Right? So there's already plans in place. There's a memorial show coming up December 9th. It was actually going to be an Eat the Elderly performance, his band. So now that's being morphed into a memorial show, a benefit show.
Where is that?
That's at Uncle Lou's, Saturday, December 9th. So if people can check out your local, that'd be great. And if you can help out with the GoFundMe, that would be great as well. So, and then you can also listen to What's the Fuss. They put out an episode yesterday. They obviously addressed everything. They talked about Rocky talked about what he felt like he could. And they also had in Bill's friend Steve, who's the drummer for their band Eat the Elderly. And you know, they told some stories about when they first met Bill and a bunch of, you know, fun Bill memories and stuff, and then also more information about the memorial and all that. So I definitely recommend people check out that latest episode of What's the Fuss. And then if you could please help in any way, that'd be awesome. So there you go. This episode goes out to you, Bill. We know you're not listening because there's just inky blackness where you are.
The inky blackness.
The nothingness of nothingness. Well, that's where Drew and I stand, so unfortunately.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah. And there's people out there, you know, and
if, hey, you know, there's times when I wish I didn't.
Yeah, me
too. Oh, yeah. There's times when
that gives me anxiety.
I can see the happiness of being, hey, I'm going to see them eventually, and they're together. It's just, it's one of those where I can't convince myself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. I'm going to go find I'm going to get to see my grandfather or my dad's father, who I never met.
I was about to say, I'll walk up and see my grandfather who never met me. He'd be like, who the fuck are you? And I'd be like, bro.
But he'll know because it's the afterlife. He's like, hey, finally, you made it. You
really?
Know?
That's the way it works.
That's the way it works. They know. Yeah.
That's the way that people say it is. I don't know.
Yeah,
I hope I'm wrong.
I don't.
I mean, honestly,
I don't.
Oh, no,
I don't,
no,
because,
no.
Oh, yeah, we took the wrong side of Pascal's wager there.
Yes, I did. Like,
just do the Pascal's wager. I mean, if you have enough time at the end.
At the end, that's the thing. You got to be at the end.
What do you lose from saying, hey, just in case?
Just in case, forgive me for all my sins.
All right, I'm out.
I picture that. What if that caveat actually works? You suddenly appear, right? Oh, and then they're like,
if anything, it's going to be like South Park, where you get up there just like, no, the Jehovah's Witnesses were right.
The Jehovah's Witnesses were
they
right.
They were correct. Sorry, you get to go to hell.
That's funny.
Shit.
You picked the wrong door.
Yeah, exactly.
Rowan Atkinson has a live show where he does a bit where he's like a demon welcoming people to hell, and he's just going through like lawyers over here, you know, all you over here. And then he said, oh, and just in case for those who are wondering, I think he said the Mormons were right.
Ah, the Mormons. They were correct. Yes.
Said the Mormons were right, which is really funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Hurricane Bill, this one goes to you. We love you, buddy. Let's do the streaming pick of the week. I didn't write it down, but we're going to do it anyway. Oh shit, I'm gonna have to write.
It's like nothing in there.
Let's vamp for a second. It's tiny pieces.
Can we put like some you should put some other stuff.
No!
We should put some rocks in there or something.
Why? Like, so when you pop it open, the rock smacks you in the face?
Yes. You should put shards of glass.
Ooh. Maybe some rusty nails.
It would sound really good.
Some tacks.
We'll just tape some maracas to them and call it a day. That's right, Cinema Crespedito streaming pick of the week time. Drew's going to pull up the JustWatch.com, and then Chico, right now, please announce, what is this week's pick of the week so Drew can let us know if it's still on there?
The Shining.
Oh my god. The Shining. I wrote The Shing pick of the week. The Shining. Stanley Kubrick. Adaptation of Stephen King.
Oh, I'm sorry, we are shit out of luck. It is no longer streaming.
It's on nothing?
It says on Netflix on this.
On that, it's on so it's not on Netflix anymore.
Nope, it's bounced on.
Sorry. Alright, there you go.
That's a weird one not to be streaming anymore.
It just seems
to make the rounds. Especially around this time of year, too, that usually pops up around.
It'd be perfect. Maybe it was on there for Halloween and it got pulled down for Christmas. No one wants to think of The Shining around Christmas time. Alright, here we go. Second pick of the week.
FX?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely on there. That is on Amazon Prime.
Yes, it is. And Vudu.
And Vudu, for the three of you who use Vudu. FX is from 1985, '86, something like
it's
that.
It's a fun movie.
It's a very fun movie. It's about a guy who's an Australian fella named Raleigh, who is a special effects guy in Los Angeles. And he is approached by an FBI agent to fake a person's murder. They have someone in witness protection, played by Jerry Orbach, and they're like, we want you to fake his assassination for whatever our reasons. We need this to happen.
Yeah.
So they rig it up. They rig up squibs, and then he goes to the restaurant, puts on a fake mustache. He goes to the restaurant to fake kill the guy. Turns out he real kills the guy. And then he's like, oh shit, I actually killed the guy. And then the cops are trying to kill him to clean everything up. So then he's on the run. He doesn't know who to trust, trying to figure out why the FBI is setting him up and how he can clear his name, etc., etc.
Why? Because it's Brian Dennehy, that's why.
And then Brian Dennehy shows up. Then it's so funny how his character isn't introduced until like 30 minutes into the movie, after all the shit goes down. Yeah. And then he's on the run. And then Brian Dennehy gets a phone call. He's like, we need you to come down to the station and work on this, blah, blah, blah. And then he's the cop investigator. And everything, and yeah, it's a very fun, very cool 80s movie, and it's got some twists and turns. What do you expect from a movie about special effects and a guy trying to fake out people in real life?
Okay, so throughout the whole movie he's doing little
things here and there. Yeah, and then you're like, what? It's a lot of fun. And then they made an FX2, which is like, well, it's what you would expect. So I would definitely recommend people watching FX. A lot of fun on Amazon Prime or Vudu.
Vudu. I rank Vudu in the zone of like Daily Motion. Remember Daily Motion? They're still around.
Daily Motion. I do remember Daily Motion.
Is still around.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
Anything you try to watch, if you're trying to skirt the system and you're looking through Daily Motion for a certain film or TV show,
yeah.
You're gonna end up. This is it. But then it's an hour long of an ad where you can go to download it.
It's an hour long. Yes. Yes.
With a link of where you can go to the.
Because you look at the you see the time code. It's like, oh, it's the exact right amount of time, and then it's just go to this link. Yeah. I hate that so much. It's unbelievable. All right, there you go. FX, great stuff. Time for a box office recap. Let's talk about that money. Drew, where are we starting our box office top five?
Top five starts at number 7 this week, Chris.
What?
Number 7, Lady Bird.
Lady Bird.
Made $4.543 million. Total of 17.
17?
Mm-hmm. Where's Lady Bird?
Does it have a budget? Probably not, right?
Not on
indie box films like that. Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Wasn't Lady Bird the name of Hank Hill's dog?
Lady Bird.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. Lady Bird.
Yeah, Lady Bird.
Yeah, it's good pull there. Good stuff. Lady Bird, we saw it at the Enzian, but it's also now expanded to other theaters, so it's like at the AMC Altamont and stuff like that.
Okay.
And it's a coming-of-age story about a 17-year-old high school girl. Saoirse Ronan plays her, the actress Saoirse Ronan, who herself, she's like 24, I think. I guess she looked like a high schooler.
Yeah, she did. It was so weird. Obviously, she didn't change anything, but I guess maybe it was just the clothes she was wearing, or maybe the way she carried herself.
Maybe, yeah.
Because when she got to college, I was like, no, that's that's a college-age person.
And, and all of a sudden, she's a college-age person.
Weird. Makeup very strange. And hair.
Maybe, yeah, the straight, the short, the style, the coloring of it.
Maybe,
she does, it's coming of age, a lot of high school stuff, so she's always on, like, it's a private school, too, so everyone's in school uniforms. Maybe that does it.
Maybe.
So, written and directed by Greta Gerwig, who is kind of an indie film acting sensation. Mm-hmm. She is in, like, almost every all other... stuff. Like high profile indie film.
I mean, she was just in what's that one?
20th Century Women.
Yes,
yes, she was great at that.
Yeah, she was.
That may have been my favorite Greta Gerwig performance, actually, in 20th Century Women.
Well, now she's directing.
So. And now I feel like this is her version of a Mike Mills movie,
it kind of, is.
Of 20th Century Women or Beginners or something like that. And so it's just like a character story. You know, it takes place over what, maybe a year?
Maybe a year and a half.
Maybe a year and a half. It's a girl. She's going into her final year of high school. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out which college she wants to go to. A very little bit of college, but it's mostly your final year of high school. Trying to figure out which college she wants to go to, and then dealing with her her parents and
her brother,
her older brother, and her brother's girlfriend, and then her friends. Like, her very small, she has like one best friend, and then she's trying to, like, you know, meet boys and do all the things, and she's trying to figure out her way in life. She doesn't know what she wants to do. She's like, I want to join the math Olympiad, and the
counselor's
like, you're not good at math, and she's like, well, we don't know that yet. So it's a comedy, it's a character comedy, it's a coming of age movie, it's all of these things, and it's just like, I think it's just really like smartly made movie, you know.
It's smartly made, it's well written, it's well acted, it's just a good movie.
It's just like, I mean, it is just,
it's just good. It's totally worth watching.
It is solid from the opening frames to the moment they decide it's like, this is where we're gonna cut to black and call it the end. Like, they found the perfect moment to end it, that like, it completes a whole emotional journey and everything. I think a big part of it, Drew, is because it just feels like real, you know, like honest. Yeah, feels honest.
It does,
right?
Very much. It
sounds very Lifetime to me.
Yeah. Okay.
It could have been.
Okay. So how about this?
Worse direction, it could have been.
No, exactly. Okay. It's what Lifetime movies wish they could be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, so if Lifetime movies could hit those emotional notes on a regular basis, people would be raving about Lifetime movies.
Yeah. Okay, so if you kind of dig Lifetime movies, like, on the, like, cusp of liking them, this movie is it.
You'll love it because it's just, like...
Like, it's the greatest Lifetime movie ever made.
Yeah, it's just a great story about a daughter and her mother, a daughter and a little bit about her father. It's a lot of it's a daughter and mom relationship, too. A very, very pivotal part of the story. And it feels in many ways like I wouldn't be surprised if nothing that happened in the movie actually happened in real life to Greta Gerwig, like, beat for beat. But if all the emotional stuff
were there.
The types of relationships and the feelings that the main character's feeling, I bet you that was all stuff she was processing like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then she wrote it down into a story, and that's why it just feels
authentic.
Authentic is a great word. Authentic is a great word. Nothing feels false about it. And when it comes to a movie like this, that's the worst thing you can do. Make something that just feels disingenuous or
like a Lifetime movie.
Like a Lifetime movie. Like you're making it up and you don't know what you're talking about. You know, like Greta Gerwig obviously knew what she was talking about when she made this. Drew already mentioned all the actors were great. Lucas Hedges, he was the kid from Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah, he's got the kid with the red hair now. He was in Manchester by the Sea. He was also in, he was something else that we just saw,
He wasn't something else.
Oh,
Lucas Hedges.
God damn it.
And
yeah, he has a good name. He's tearing it up.
Yeah, he's popping up.
He's on par with Finn Wolfhard.
Good old Finn Wolfhard. We're gonna have a lot of talking about Finn Wolfhard.
Fun names.
We'll see about that one. Fun names. Good times. I'll play this in the Crespo Disco, but it has a John Bryan score. People are listening to
it does.
If you listen to the bed music that's playing right now, I'm using John Bryan's I Heart Huckabees. So it's a lot of stuff like that. Very poppy.
Lighthearted
at times, but then it can also get like emotional when it needs to.
Very emotional. But yeah,
he's very good.
He goes deep, but he keeps it on the surface somehow.
Yeah, because he's all like ding-doo-doo.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's fun stuff. It's a very good movie. I'd expect when Oscars were around in February
this will pop up
a lot in nominations in terms of writing, maybe directing.
Definitely.
Maybe even Best Picture. I could see, because going up to 10 nominees for Best Picture, I could see getting enough votes to get nominated.
Probably Best Supporting Female.
For the mom?
Yeah, for the mom.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So, I mean, Saoirse Ronan did a great job.
She could.
But I don't think it was Best Actress of the Year.
Yeah, sure.
Especially with fucking Jennifer Lawrence and Mother, that's just gonna get smashed, but man.
Man, that should be.
I still haven't seen
but man.
Such a
good one.
That people hated it so much.
That's what makes me love it so much.
And that made me love it more.
The more they hate it, the more I love it.
It did make me love it more.
Yeah.
So Lady Bird, good stuff. For sure, one of the better indie, low budget, character films of the year, for sure.
Go figure, Chris comes from A24.
Yeah, and then when A24 probably in the beginning, it was like, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. A24 knows exactly what's up. They're great. They're awesome.
It's like they're making movies just for me.
They know. They know what you like.
They know exactly what you desire.
More from America.
That's what I'm saying. Everything.
Yeah.
They knock out of the park every time.
They're great. So Lady Bird, even though it's not necessarily something that benefits from a big screen, I would say, if it's playing in the theater,
go see it
just to support indie cinema and different stories and
stuff. If you're one of those people who's like, there's no original movies being made right now, well, go see Lady Bird, and
it's an original movie.
It's fucking original, damn.
I'll help them make more.
And we mentioned this right after the movie. It reminds me a lot of another movie we raved about a couple years ago, The Spectacular Now.
Yes.
With Miles Teller and Shailene Woodley and Brie Larson. And it's another, story about a 17, 18-year-old girl in high school, just meeting a guy, relationships and stuff like that. But it just feels real and authentic and well-written and well-directed.
Okay.
That would make a great double feature. The Spectacular Now, then Lady Bird, I think, would be a very cool 3 hours.
Nice.
All right, there you go. Lady Bird is number 7, so it's number 5.
Daddy's Home 2 made $7.5 million, total 82.8.
82, so it almost made $100 million already? Almost.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
I guess
the Mel Gibson Redemption Tour worked. The dude never said sorry once, and now people are going to family movie with Mel Gibson. I'll go see.
Yep, I guess so.
I think it's a bit of a bummer, actually, because grew up loving Mel Gibson in his movies. I think he's a great director and a perfectly fine actor, but
as a person,
he's a bad person. Yeah. He's such a bad person.
Is he a bad person, or do you think he's just one of these jaded people that have been burnt by Hollywood?
No, not even that, because he's sexist and misogynist.
It's the Jew ranting.
It's a Jew ranting, but he also did the whole, I hope you get raped by a pack of N-words. He said that once.
I guess the things he said. I get that they're horrible things, but I feel for the guy. I've seen so many people talking about how Hollywood has done them wrong, and they've so many horrible things happening that people are trying to speak out about. Like, we talk about Corey Feldman.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right? And he's out there yelling about stuff, and people are stifling him, like, hey, no, you can't say that. But there's got to be, if there's smoke, there's fire. Maybe Mel was just caught up in that. I mean, it's no excuse for what he says.
Well, the thing is, when
you get
the,
driven to that point of insanity.
I remember when that stuff first popped almost a decade ago now. Sugar tits and all that stuff. The Jews are the cause of all the wars in the world, all that stuff. Around that time, I remember Winona Ryder, someone asked her, or maybe it was an old interview that they pulled up, and she was like, oh, Mel Gibson, he's an anti-Semite. Like, he is thoroughly anti-Semitic. Yeah. The first time I met him, he made a joke to me.
He was like, that was a Jew!
No, he made a joke to me about Jews and ovens.
So, Chris, what's the difference between a Jew and a pizza?
Something about...
Pizzas don't scream when you put them in the
oven. There you go. So maybe Mel Gibson told that joke to Winona Ryder. And then she was like, I'm Jewish. And then he was like, yeah, I know.
I get it. That's why
I thought you were finding it funny. Maybe. I have no idea.
That's Australians, though.
Yeah, and in Australia, which is a different country, a different culture, they are racist as fuck.
And they're also
shout out to our Australian listeners. You guys are racist as fuck.
They also don't give a shit. They will say whatever the fuck they want. And they don't care how you feel.
And they should give a shit, because they treat Maori people terribly. They treat Indigenous people in Australia the same way we treat Native Americans, Native Indians, Native Americans. They treat Native Australians the same way. Horribly.
White people are awful.
They still do blackface jokes on TV in Australia.
Mm.
So they're a little behind the eight ball on that one. Maybe Mel Gibson brought some of that wonderful old-timey Australian racism to America. And we're like, man, we do that American racism where it's more sinister and and use code words.
Yeah, seriously.
Don't just come out and say the Jews run the world. You got to say the media is causing problems. You don't say, you don't hate N-words. You say, what's wrong with these people with the sagging pants? You talk about their pants. You know? Talk about their,
there needs to be a class when people come to the United States from Australia.
Yeah.
It's American racism for Australians.
How to be properly racist in America without getting called out for your shit. As a resident white guy, you should get on that.
I mean, if you don't want to be called on your shit and be racist, just move to Alabama. You'll be fine.
Australians in Alabama would do so well.
They would do great.
They would do great. They're about to elect a pedophile. Not a pedophile.
Exactly.
A pedophile. They're about to elect a sexual assaulter, molester to the Senate in Alabama. So,
Chris, we elected Donald Trump president.
Yeah, ground by the pussy. Well, it's exact. He won Alabama by many points, so it's the exact same.
So yeah, your Alabamas, your Mississippis, your Missouris. I love our listeners out there, but you guys were backwards as fuck.
Right. I don't think we have many Alabama listeners. Shout out to our Missouri listeners.
And if they do, they probably don't like me that much.
Or maybe they're listening for you. Guys.
You might be the heel that they love.
Yes, you may be the heel.
I'm okay with that.
We hate that guy so much. We have to listen to him.
They love heels. That old, maybe it's like old Memphis wrestling. Guys, get out of Missouri.
Seriously.
We have way too many downloads in Missouri. Get out
of St. Louis.
That's probably what it is. Shout out to St. Louis. St. Louis is dope. If it wasn't for St. Louis, Missouri would just be Alabama 3.
There'd be no Arches.
Alabama 3. And it has to be Alabama 3 because Georgia without Atlanta is Alabama 2.
That's true.
If Georgia didn't have Atlanta.
If Georgia had more water. Well, if Alabama and Georgia had more water, there would just be Mississippi.
It's all garbage.
The South is crap. You're right.
The South is crap. As a matter of fact, Florida, once you start getting to like Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah. That's because you're getting into the South.
You're starting to get to the South.
Yeah.
Shout outs from the subtropics. We take our racism with a side of humidity.
Number four this week.
Number four.
Thor Ragnarok.
Thor Ragnarok.
Made $9.6 million. Total of $291 domestic.
$291. All right, so it's going to get to $300. That's excellent for Thor.
And $525 foreign, total $816 worldwide.
That's crazy. We've mentioned this on the show before, but those are Spider-Man numbers for a comic book movie. Yeah. Like $800 million. It's Spider-Man. It's Suicide Squad, which has to be Will Smith, and then Batman's and Avengers. The biggest comic book movies make plus $800 million. Yeah. Deadpool made $780 million. Logan made like $750 million.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Well, you have Jeff Goldblum as Space DJ.
You think that did it?
Guaranteed to get money.
So put just.
That was amazing. That was the most amazing thing in the world.
So good,
dude. All of a sudden, he's in there talking. They pan over. They pan back. All of a sudden, he's behind some space DJ table. Yeah, he's just like doing his thing. It's like. Wow. So what delightful. The fuck is going on here?
Someone finally figured out how to use Jeff Goldblum properly. Everything, you get little glimpses of it. Jurassic Park, mm-hmm, The Fly, mm-hmm. All these little glimpses of this greatness. And somebody goes, hey, Jeff, just be yourself.
Just be you.
Like, what would you do in this situation? It's like, well, maybe I'd DJ.
All right.
Fucking do it. Then you go do that.
It's like, oh, I feel like I have a party.
Yeah.
Taika Waititi, I saw him a little interview clip where he talked about hiring Jeff Goldblum. And he's like, what do you want me to do? He's like, oh, I just want you to be you. And then Goldblum was like, I was hoping you'd say that.
It was great.
Yeah, he's fantastic. So you saw Thor.
I did.
What did you think?
I think it was great. They let Hemsworth do a lot more comedy.
Yes, they did.
They let him loose. And I don't know if that's influenced by the Ghostbusters reboot, because I think in part. He was so funny.
Yeah, he was so funny. Well, exactly. He plays the dumb guy real well.
He's good at playing.
And they added that in. It's like, hey, do the same thing.
Just be dumber.
Yeah. Not only that, the Vacation reboot that they did with Ed Helms, he has a small role in that. Yeah. That's a comedy role. Yeah. And he's
hilarious in there as well.
Maybe the best part of that movie. Yeah.
I think that added a lot to it. The comedy aspect seemed, and maybe that was Guardians of the Galaxy influence because of how well that did.
Because it was well received. And the second one felt even jokier than the first one.
Yeah, so I think they just followed that.
So I think that's why they were fine with getting a writer-director who's only done comedy. And be like, make our Thor movie. It's like, you know, I'm a comedian. Make it funny.
It was great. You had so many people in this movie. Like, there were so many. I mean, you have the Hulk aspect added to it, but you have so much. There's like, you know, cameos by people. Yep. And just it was a star.
There were some fun cameos that you didn't expect. Mm-hmm. That Liam Hemsworth cameo was like, of course that makes sense. Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
I don't know if that's a spoiler to give that whole part away.
It's been about a month now.
Yeah, seriously.
And all we said was Liam Hemsworth is in it. So
yeah.
Well, no, I mean, Matt Damon.
Oh yeah! Oh, that was freaking weird.
In the exact same scene, guys.
Yeah, we're just like, what is that? Matt Damon? What is Matt Damon doing in this movie? Yeah.
I got lost for a second because I'm like, wait, was that Matt Damon? Yes, like, yeah, I was tapping the person. I'm like, was that Matt Damon?
Like, you can't even listen to what he's saying.
Yeah.
Is that him? What?
And someone plays fake Odin too on that. In that
oh
stage
God!
Play.
Yes. Who was it? Yeah. Oh, you're right.
I forgot. Yeah. Someone's like, it's that guy.
Damn. Yeah. You recognize him from like a bunch of
exactly.
I know so many movies, but I know TV, like I think TV shows.
He's been around. Yeah, it's a fun movie, right? Where would you rank it in terms of like all the Marvel movies overall? Did you like it more than most? Right in the middle.
It's my favorite Thor.
Oh, easily,
well done. I think there's a lot of Kate Blanchett that's amazing.
Oh, Kate Blanchett, she's so good.
She does really well in this movie. Yeah. So I think, I would probably put it in the top five.
Top five, right? Yeah, so that's like top third almost. Yeah, because we're up to 17,
something like that.
So it's like top third.
Yeah. I definitely put the first Iron Man in that top five as well. I
mean, oh yeah,
well, of course. That's the one that did it. Yeah, without the first Iron Man movie, there is no MCU.
And they also made that Iron Man 2 without real plans for an MCU.
Yeah.
They're like, well, let's make Iron Man. We have Incredible Hulk in the works. No real plans to tie everything together just yet. Let's just see how it does. And then it blew up. Yeah. And they're like, maybe we can make this work. Yeah. Fucking. Almost 15 years later. God damn, they made it work.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Man. Speaking of which, so you like Thor, you can recommend it to people. That's good. Did you see that Avengers Infinity War trailer?
I did.
And what'd you think?
I loved it. I mean, I love the trailer. It does what it's supposed to do. It gets you all amped up. You see the tingles when you're watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I hate is trailers spoiling so much.
You think this one's spoiling some stuff?
I guess it's not so much. It's just they're in the trailers that scene where Thanos is taking the Infinity Stone
from Vision.
Mm-hmm. From Vision, and again, you don't know if it's a dream. It's if somebody's seeing this ahead happening.
It has to happen.
I don't need to see it in the
trailer. You don't need to. That's the thing. Okay, so that's the thing. It has to happen. Yeah. As fans, we know it has to happen, so we don't have to see the trailer because we know what's going.
I don't need the trailer. Yeah. Just don't let me. Because what I don't want to do is see a scene that reminds me of that scene. I'm like, oh, this is coming now.
Yes, I hate that. I hate when I watch a movie and then scenes from trailers pop in my mind. And I'm like, I'm waiting for this scene to pop up, waiting for this to happen.
Because this kind of looks like it. This looks like the location where I saw that happen. This is what they're wearing.
Yes.
So this is where he's going
to
do it.
So here it comes. Yes, exactly. I have the same feeling where I get...
Because you instantly go, so soon? Or why? They waited this long?
Yeah, exactly. Because then you start comparing the movie you're actually watching to the narrative that is built within the trailer.
Right.
And you're like, they rearrange things in the trailer to make things seem like they're going to happen earlier or later. Yeah. It's just trailer marketing manipulation. Whereas then you're watching the actual movie. Yeah, it's a weird thing.
And that Thanos theme that's going around now with
Punisher. I just seen the Punisher one.
Oh, the big one right now is like, it's huge. Like it's Thanos as, what's his name from Pawn Stars or Pawn... What's that for the big pawn show?
The bald guy?
Yeah.
The Rick?
They put his head over there and he's offering him money for the stones. It's everybody's mixing it with different
things. That's funny. The one I saw was John Bernthal as Punisher with like a face like that. Yeah. And it says on top Thanos in like purple font. And then underneath it says, never heard of her.
Have you seen the transition of Thanos from like the first movie where he says I'll do it myself?
Mm-hmm.
I his skin has changed.
Yeah, I haven't looked at
everything.
But yeah,
changed.
I mean, I get
the entire character design.
I get making him look more like Brolin, but the skin color has changed.
He's even like a lighter. Blue. Yeah, he's like a lighter purple now. Yeah. Right?
He almost looks grayish to me.
Well, like, in that first Avengers, it is obviously a different actor.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and someone there in makeup, they had to cast someone for that one shot. And then they got Brolin for Guardians of the Galaxy, where you just see him sitting on a throne.
Right.
And then right at the end is when they do the bonus scene where he's like, I'll just do it myself. And he goes and he grabs his Infinity Gauntlet, right? Mm-hmm. Remember that, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
Is that from that movie? I think it was from the first Guardians. And that's the only time you see Josh Brolin Thor.
Yeah.
And then that was Guardians of the Galaxy 1. There's like two or three movies. Ant-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Civil War, has all happened with no sight of Thanos. So maybe they were depending on that. You don't really see him that often, so you don't notice that he looks a little different now. Mm-hmm. The character design changes.
It's really, really like, I mean, it's a big difference in color. Like,
he's just literally like lighter looking now.
Yeah, he's not as dark purple as he was before.
Yeah, that was like a light purple.
Mm-hmm. Overexposed.
He's like purple. We mentioned this. We did our bonus episode this week where we spent half the episode just talking about the trailer because we really didn't have anything prepared. Because it was like a last minute. When I saw the trailer, I was especially. Okay, so they showed footage from Infinity War earlier this year at D23.
that Disney Expo that they do, D23 Expo. And they showed us sizzle reel. It blew people's minds. They wrote up very detailed shot-by-shot descriptions of what that...
Very surprised, too, that didn't make it out.
That's the thing.
That's a really good job that they
did. That is some lockdown that Disney did, right?
That did not make it anywhere.
I guess if you think about it over the years, Disney stuff doesn't leak. Other stuff leaks, but Disney, they... Man, they're scary.
It's the Black Bag Man, dude. If you try to leak something from Disney, those motherfuckers with the mouse masks come out and fucking black bag your ass.
Yeah, that'd be like something. Throw you in a van. In the hall itself.
Seriously,
like,
all you see is an outline of the mouse.
The mouse ears.
All you see is the mouse ears. It's all just three black in your fucking. Oh, shit. It's like,
over. You thought you could steal this?
We've got you now, fucker. We're gonna fuck you up.
The end of that scissor reel, and I mentioned this on the bonus episode, finishes with Thanos throwing a moon at Avengers, which is like, I can't wrap my brain around that visual. How does that even happen?
It's very comic book
style. It's extremely comic booky, right? Yeah. And the word I think of when I think of that is cosmic, right? Outer space. It seems like a lot of this has to take place, huge intergalactic battles, fist fight battles. It's going to be, that's why you need the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
They release this trailer.
It's all on Earth.
The entire trailer takes place in New York City
or Wakanda.
The woods of Wakanda. Not even in the streets, in the woods. Yep. So it could be like any woods.
That Wakanda shot, that was awesome. The whole scene in Wakanda was really, really cool.
Wakanda looks dope. I can't wait for Black Panther. Yeah. Wakanda looks so cool. That Afro-futuristic shit looks so cool. The trailer just feels so weirdly Earthbound. You know, like...
And it's
small. I want to really say small.
No, you're right, and it shouldn't be. Infinity, just the name Infinity War, and you're hanging out in New York City in a fucking jungle.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Infinity.
That is some bullshit.
That's huge. Yeah,
I think there's so much more. Like, they've been building to this. Like, that's what they did with the Guardians, was to open all this up, so this stuff seems okay now.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't seem shocked by it. Like,
right. And like, it's not even just Guardians, right? You're right.
Guardians.
You're right. And he called it Guardians. Guardians opens up outer space, so you get the outer space.
Right.
Doctor Strange opens up
other dimensions.
Other dimensions, supernatural, and Ant-Man opens up like quantum realm and like over the top science fiction. So all these things can now be combined. And then what they just did, Thor, which really expanded on the whole Guardians, outer space. So now all these things combined can finally give us the
Infinity War. Maybe that's why the trailer was based.
So people don't freak out too much.
So it's not like over the top, like, oh, what the hell are
like,
they
this
doing?
Looks absurd.
You know, like, you get the older crowd that doesn't understand it. And it's like, they in space? Did he just throw a moon at that guy?
Exactly.
Fuck yeah, he did.
Did he just throw a moon? I want to see that shot so bad. So obviously this is the first trailer. The movie is 6 months out.
Yeah.
I'm sure the trailer will play in front of Star Wars. Not everything. It'll play in front of Star Wars, for sure.
You think it'll be the same trailer or a new trailer?
Yes, I'm sure it'll be the one that's online now. That'll be what plays in front of The Last Jedi. And then a new trailer will probably be February.
Black Panther.
Yeah. That'll be perfect time in February, March, April, May, and then 4 months out. Yeah. And then they usually do three trailers for big movies like this. Although, that's the thing with Infinity War, it's a lot like Last Jedi. You don't really need to promote it that hard.
Yeah.
People are going to see these movies.
I don't want to see another trailer. I would rather not, because if you give me another trailer with different scenes, you are going to ruin a whole other section of this movie.
Then we can start piecing things together in our minds. The Shape of Water. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, this Guillermo del Toro movie that's coming out, within the span of 6 weeks, I saw three different trailers, completely different trailers for the same movie.
Right.
With the third one being like, here's just a beat for beat breakdown of the movie from minute one to like 10 minutes left of the film. Like, here is the movie. And I was like, fuck, stop. I want to see this thing. And you're literally ruining all of it.
Just tease it for me. Don't give shit away.
It's a
bummer. You and I talked about this not too long ago, about like, what was the movie we were talking about with Southpaw? Like, don't spoil shit for me.
Yeah.
That was the whole movie in the trailer.
The whole movie.
Whole movie.
The entire movie.
Yeah, whole movie.
Yeah, don't fuck it up. Why would you do that? And who lets that go by? Why would you fuck up the major plot points?
Because nobody cares.
Well, that's also very old school. If you go back to, how far do you got to go back? I think the 60s. I think they stopped doing this in the 70s. If you go back to the 60s and before, movie trailers did show you everything. Like, literally everything. All the way up until the very final resolution. Remember the movie Nerve? Remember seeing that trailer? That's the one where the kids are playing the game online.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And it's like, are you a watcher or a player? And that trailer showed everything up until the last 5 minutes. That's how trailers used to be, like, on the reg. Now they've gotten more enigmatic. But there's still middle ground, right? You want to tease people.
Yeah.
But then you don't want to give them, like, how Mad Men used to do on next week's Mad Men. And it's, like, the most enigmatic shit ever that it, there's no way you can parse what is happening with what they show you. There's a middle ground.
There, next week's Mad Men. People doing things.
People doing
things. You show this person here. Oh, look, why is he in that room? But
he's, he's in a room. What?
This guy's drinking scotch.
Yeah. John Hamm's drinking scotch in next week's episode of Mad Men. Yeah, trailers, stop showing so much.
Stop screwing it up.
Stop showing so much. What were we talking about?
I'm pretty sure.
Was that the end of the Thor Ragnarok? All right. Chico recommends Thor Ragnarok.
Yes. Number three this week.
Good stuff.
Wonder made $12.5 million, total 88.
Not to be confused with Wonder Woman.
Correct.
Or Wonder Wheel, Woody Allen's Wonder Wheel. Or Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman. Or Wonder... There's another movie with Wonder in the title. Wonder Woman, Wonder Wheel, Wonder... No, there's four movies. There's four movies this year with the word Wonder in the title.
Four movies this year?
This year, Chico.
What is Wonder?
Wonder is a movie... remember Mask?
Yeah.
80s Mask, Rocky Dennis, Ugly Kid. It's the same thing. It's a kid with a fucked up face. Maybe he's a burn victim. I don't know. And then he goes to school.
Adversity. And, blah, blah, blah.
The little kid. And it's actually the kid from the movie The Room, Jacob Tremblay.
Okay.
Who, I don't know, it's hard with kid actors. You know, we've seen it so many throughout the years.
I think I've seen this trailer for him where he makes a friend.
And, yeah, I saw the commercial on TV recently, finally. Because when we first mentioned Wonder... A few weeks ago.
Like, what the fuck is this?
Like, what the fuck is this? Because it's not marketed towards us. No. That's why. But yeah, it's totally like, you know, using cinema as an empathy machine, which it is. You know, just thinking about people that are having a harder time and don't look like us, et cetera, et cetera. Right. It seems like a nice little movie based on a book, too, which is why it's been so popular. How much money has it made? Like 40, 50?
88.
88?
Wow.
That's great. So look for Wonder 2 coming out next year.
Number two this week.
That was number three?
Yeah.
Okay, number two.
Justice League.
Justice League.
Made $16.58 million, total of $197.
$197 after 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
For a total of, what's the worldwide total?
$374 and $567.
Okay, this movie should already be at $700 worldwide.
It's never going to
And it know. Should have gotten to...
$250 at least, domestic.
It should have gotten to $350 domestic, $650 international for a cool... This movie should have made $1 billion.
This is their Avengers.
Chris.
Yes. Yes.
This is their big tent movie.
Batman is one of the biggest box office draws in history, unless you make a Batman and Robin or Justice League. Yes.
I don't understand why it's... I mean, I saw it... Out of the movies they've made,
yep,
it was good. Like, it was good for these movies.
Okay, but it's better than Batman vs. Superman.
So how about this? Everything I ever hear about these DC movies has a caveat. It's the best they've ever made, or it's since this, or it's not as good as that. But it's no, guys, no.
Yeah.
Listen, these movies are. They're not good.
I want them to be good.
Quit trying to make them good. Quit trying to tell yourself that they're good because they're not.
The problem is the problem is I want Superman and Batman.
I know you do.
Yeah,
so
me too.
So if right now if I wanted tacos and I don't have much of an option, but I'm getting fucking tacos.
So you're gonna tell yourself that Taco Bell's good.
I'm gonna get fucking tacos and Taco Bell is gonna fucking do it for me. Because goddamn it, I'm not going anywhere else. I'm getting damn tacos today.
Yeah. Well,
get,
you know what?
Get yo damn tacos.
You know what? Maybe you should have a little bit of resolve and
hold out for good tacos.
Hold out for some good tacos.
I need tacos today. Like, I only have an option. I don't know how much longer I can go without tacos. And there's tacos around the corner.
That's all.
And if you don't eat these tacos, ain't more tacos coming on for at least another 2 years.
Yeah,
it's garbage.
We're gonna eat those garbage tacos.
Shit is garbage.
We're gonna eat these shit tacos and we're gonna shit our brains. I'm like, God damn it. You know what? I mean, at least the show wasn't
stale. The way I feel is like,
at least the taco show
Man
wasn't
of Steel.
Stale.
Man of Steel was like, all right, I got Taco Bell. There's a Taco Bell near here. And then, you know, Batman Superman, I was like, well, there's a Del Taco.
Yes, it goes we'll down. Do correct, it went down.
I don't know what the hell Justice League would be. It's gotta be something better than both of those.
Personally speaking, for me, and this may be too high of a praise.
I got a taco from Hardee's.
This Hardee's taco. Oh no, those Carl no, don't do that. A Jack in the Box taco. No.
Pollo Tropical?
They don't have tacos. So they definitely don't get Pollo Tropical tacos. For me, go with that analogy. Man of Steel is a it's too high. Gringos Locos is too high, but it's more like an actual place, like a Taco Chino, Gringos Locos, somewhere where I know the tacos are good because I like Man of Steel.
No, I like Man of Steel,
so I like it. So Batman for me, Superman, that's that.
Was kind of a disappointment.
Batman vs Superman is Del Taco, and then Justice League is Taco Bell because it goes up.
So the
but it doesn't go as high up as Man of Steel for me.
So
and then Wonder Woman is Wonder Woman's like. Hunger Street Tacos.
Wonder Woman stands.
Like, it's a double D.
I almost don't even consider Wonder Woman a DC movie because it's so much better than all of the other ones.
But I'd say be fair to DC, give them their credit.
I think the bad thing for Wonder Woman, for me at least, was I set my expectations really low. I wasn't happy with the Gal Gadot casting.
Okay,
and I just kept. I went in there going, she's mm-hmm. hot, but she's so small so, for Wonder Woman.
So it for just you,
kept fucking with me, and then I watched the movie. I'm like.
Never mind.
Oh, this is really good. This is really good.
It's a well-made
I don't understand
movie.
How nobody noticed a fucking sword in her dress the whole fucking time she's mm-hmm. in there.
Yeah.
But
comic book shenanigans. Yeah, she's walking around with a sword.
Big fucking sword.
Huge.
Like, nobody else had weapons. Yeah. One little chick's walking around with a giant sword on her back and nobody says shit.
Yeah, well, they made the joke earlier when she has a sword and the shield and they're like, maybe you should put that away and she's on the streets of London. But then, yeah, like, she has another.
Could you slow dance with a girl and not notice a giant sword on her fucking back?
Probably not.
Like, well, I cut myself just touching your lower back. What's that all about? DC is... And then, you know, people who listen to the show may think that, based on our reviews, when we talk about the movies, that we prefer Marvel to DC. And in actuality, I like Batman movies way more than I like Marvel characters. I love Superman movies. Superman the movie is one of my favorite movies. Superman 2, those are two of my favorite superhero movies.
I mean, the Christopher Nolan Batman movies are... Amazing.
They're amazing. So I don't think it's a matter of DC versus Marvel.
And actually,
it's just a matter of like Marvel is getting it right and DC isn't.
And when it comes down to it, I actually prefer to read DC comics than Marvel
these days. There you go. Also, DC animation. Warner Brothers animation has been killing it for years now.
Oh my God. Infinitely better than anything Marvel's ever put out animation-wise.
It's kind of wild, really.
Yeah,
it's kind of wild. How come they don't have the same creative people
seriously
in both divisions?
Seriously.
You know? Although, you know, they did that great Flashpoint animation. The Flash movie is going to be Flashpoint.
Speaking of, have you guys seen the Batman anime trailer?
I just saw it.
Holy fuck.
I am not a huge anime fan. I've tried. I've had a friend like run me through like this suggestion list from a Netflix to watch of anime. Even down to what do you like the most? I'm like,
there's like
death and boobs.
I
watched High School of the Dead and it still didn't do it for me.
Fair enough.
There's like
six High School of the Dead.
There's like six anime movies that I actually like.
Yeah, we're we're not that big on anime. It turns out we revealed
but
over the years.
It looks fucking amazing.
Joker looks crazy.
Yeah. The character design is the guy who did the Afro Samurai.
Oh, that's why it looks like
that. So that's why it looks like that.
Okay. It's an awesome. Yeah, that's great.
Great character design.
Great art direction. Yeah. Yeah, it looks really cool. From Japan.
Yeah. It looks amazing.
Yeah, I want to see that.
It looks good.
I definitely want to see
that. I do think that Flash kind of did help the movie
a little bit.
Like his character.
100%.
Like, I didn't feel necessarily it was too comic book accurate, but I did feel very
comic book accurate. Yeah. What are you talking about?
I know.
Motherfucking Aquaman's got he's a long-haired rocker who's got a fucking booze problem.
Aquaman is cool.
I'll give you Aquaman all day because I hate Aquaman. I fucking think this is stupid as
all he does is talk to fish.
But they keep making jokes about that.
I love the reference to what do you do? Just talk to fish and how badass he was. I'm like, I could dig Aquaman like this. Aquaman kind of fits.
I get
that's not Aquaman.
It's not.
It's your movie Aquaman.
But I realize that DC is just saying, hey, fuck your comic books. We're gonna come up with something that we think works,
right?
And so you did,
but
Aquaman.
Wrong.
You did Aquaman and the Flash right for me.
I mean, that's fine, but they still made a shit movie.
One of my favorite moments in Justice League is when the Flash hits that Speed Force and he's doing his speed skating thing, trying to get behind Superman.
Wait, this was X-Men.
No, actually,
I'm just saying, it felt like the same shit.
No, which is funny though. In Quicksilver feels like he's running.
Yeah.
Flash feels like he's skating. Like, there is a definite body movement difference. And then the whole Snyder adds that whole electricity thing. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going into the Speed Force.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like they did differentiate. Because, yes, it's the same thing. Going in slow motion.
I guess you have to in that slow motion sense where you just poke things.
Like,
I
never understood the poke, though. Like, I still don't understand why. If I was going super fast, why do I have to poke this?
Why? Because if you actually touch it, that hard, that thing's gonna go flying because you're moving so fast.
Yeah. Okay. It's like they say. It's like they say in Kung Fu Hustle. Speed determines the winner of any battle. So the faster you are, the more force you're gonna have.
Just reference Kung Fu Hustle.
Fuck yeah, reference Kung Fu Hustle.
Just remember, guys, it's basic physics. F equals ma.
Yeah.
Force equals mass times acceleration.
And speed determines the winner.
Yep.
So then when Flash is trying to move fast behind Superman, and then Superman like moves his head slowly, and he's just like watches him go by, and like his eyes following him, and then
that was a great scene.
He smiles a little bit, like I can fucking see you, and then you see Flash's face, he's like
oh fuck,
you can see me. Like that's a great moment.
Little things like that that made it decent.
That made it okay.
I was able to forgive a bunch of crap.
No, that made it
like how did Batman get younger?
No, that made it all passable.
Because old CG face.
That made the movie passable. But
passable isn't good.
Correct. Yeah, I think
it passable isn't good. It's not a good movie, unfortunately.
4DX makes it good. I saw it in 4DX. I don't want to sidetrack everything. Have you guys 4DX? Seen stuff in
4DX? I haven't seen a single thing in 4DX yet. So did you get water splashed in your face?
Oh man, it's a theme park ride movie.
Yeah. He's got 4DX, man.
It's like going to Universal Studios and riding the Spider-Man ride.
Yeah.
For the whole two hours.
Yeah, the whole thing's moving.
Yeah, the whole time. It doesn't stop moving either. Like even on the slow scenes where there's just conversation happening, there's this gentle like rocking kind of that happens.
So it's like
I'm still
fucking
moving.
So is it like 4DX in your face?
It's weird.
4DX in your face?
It felt like Dick squirting my face.
Yeah,
Aquaman,
it's like Dick because he gets the water.
Because when Aquaman shows up,
well, I mean, it's
you get fucking sprayed.
Dude,
shit.
It's underwater.
It says right up on the thing, 4DX. Right there.
Lee.
It probably says even on your ticket, 4DX.
4DX. Lee Daintree from the Tom and Dan crew. I remember hearing him talk about doing 4DX for Alien Covenant. And that entire movie, it's raining. And he's bald. So by the end of the movie, he just had water pouring down his face because it just kept spraying him the whole time. That sounds miserable.
It wasn't bad. Yeah. I think there's some films that might... I could see people getting sick.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching it when they had the Star Wars trailer. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't think I could see that in this.
Because, the space stuff, the way it would move around.
It is rocky as fuck. Like, during some of the flight scenes. And when Aquaman's being thrown around,
yeah,
it's you get fucking rocked, bro.
That's
like the thing tilts back and then flings you, and you're like, I had to keep adjusting in my seat because falling out of my seat.
Because you can, and you
there's
can
no seat belt,
but you can adjust the
you can
the
turn
intensity,
off the water,
right?
No, you can turn off the water.
Oh, that's it.
That's all you can turn off. So if you got to the point where you tired a guy and shot in the face with water,
yeah,
which I should have done because I had to wipe my face, I should have turned it off. But
that's
all you can control.
That is so funny. Do not see the Titanic re-release in a 4DX. No.
It just floods the theater.
And Titanic's going down. Oh, shit. Yeah.
It's like the earthquake ride at Universal where there's like a half foot of water that comes up and then it drains out.
And then it drains right next to the
watch
the
your
train.
Step when you leave so you don't fall out.
Man, what
it snowed.
They're turning that into... it snowed in the theater?
Yeah, it did the fake soap snow.
Get out of here.
So lame.
It fall into my popcorn. What are they making that ride at Universal?
The earthquake ride?
Yeah. They're making it something. Oh, Fast and Furious.
Oh,
the earthquake ride is going to be the Fast and Furious. So then what are they making Terminator? They're making that something.
Yeah, like the close down Terminator.
Yeah, they closed down Terminator. So they're making that something. Anyway, we'll see. Just Ice League.
What does Batman like in his drinks? Just ice.
Just ice.
Number one this week.
There's a scene where he gave Wonder Woman like a whole belt of scotch and they just like put it down. Like, how does he know that she wants scotch? Does she drink? Is Wonder Woman a drinker? And they're going to battle. Anyway, Drew, go ahead.
She's an Amazon. Of course she drinks.
It doesn't affect them.
Number
Amazon
one.
Drink, of course. What do you mean, of course she drinks?
They're warriors. All warriors get drunk.
Yeah, that's what they do before war.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Historically, usually before they go to battle, they get fucking trashed.
Yeah.
You want your wits about you.
No. Not when you're about to die.
If you're going to battle with that defeatist attitude, who do you think you are? A samurai? Okay, go ahead with number one.
Coco. Made $26 million, total of 108.
108 after only 2 weeks. Good for Coco.
I've got to go see this.
It's well reviewed. Everyone likes it. We still got to go see it.
But I already saw Book of the Dead.
Book of Life. But this one's about music, though.
Which makes me want to see it even less.
It's the same. It's the same design based on Day of the Dead, but it's a different story. You ever see the movie Book of Life?
I have not.
Produced by Guillermo del Toro. It's all like it's set in a Mexican village.
I've seen the trailers for it and I thought it looked okay. I'm weird about like cartoon movies.
Well, yeah, no, I have the same thing.
I love cartoon movies.
I don't know why.
It's my jam.
The fun thing about movies like that is when a movie like that will go somewhere that you're surprised a a family movie or a kid's
movie. Oh, and it does.
So Book of Life, yeah, when he goes down into the underworld, into the world of the dead, because he's going through a journey to try to fix a wrong, mm-hmm. and he has to go up against like gigantic monsters and stuff. And
it's very Guillermo del
Toro. It is very del Toro. It's very cool.
I'll definitely try it out. I mean, I've given plenty of other, like some of like I love some cartoon movies. Yeah. Like, it takes me a little bit. It takes me convincing almost. Like I won't,
sure.
I won't get hyped for it. But if you're like Moana, I was like, I'm not gonna watch.
I mean,
shit.
If you want right. to see,
yeah. But if enough people tell you, people it's tell
me
good.
It. I mean,
yeah.
if you want to see a good cartoon movie, go see what was that? The Legend of the blah blah blah. The Owls of Gahool.
Legends of the Guardians.
Yes.
The Owls of Gahool.
Yeah, I saw these fucking owls, and I was like, no.
Dude!
As well you should! But it's Zack Snyder, so it is 300 with owls.
It's 300 with owls. It's wild.
I'm not joking, dude. Yes. It is fucking insane.
Owl blood splattered on the screen.
Yes!
Well, those are okay. blood.
All right. I'm pretty sure.
There's all right. owl,
dude, there's straight up aerial owl battles.
There's owl on owl violence.
Lots of owl on owl violence.
There's literally only
there's
one
owl
scene.
Slavery.
Owl slavery. There's literally only one scene I would skip when there's like a montage and there's like a pop song
playing
by
the
band Owl City.
Yeah, that was lame.
I think
but
we might,
still.
Owl City, really?
Yeah,
like,
they,
really?
Yeah. They went that cheesy.
They
went
there.
Pandering ass motherfucker.
Yeah.
Once the song starts playing, fast forward 2 minutes, you get right back to it.
Exactly.
I think we might be on the cusp of, I said cusp twice in this podcast. Word of the day. So of like this animal centric kind of thing, because have you I'm just gonna stray off onto comics here, but there's a comic out there called Squarriors.
No.
Have you guys heard of Squarriors?
No.
Look this up, just Google image Squarriors if you're listening. It is a comic themed about
squirrel warriors.
Warriors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That and it's pretty popular out there, and I could see a little film being made of it. I've read a couple
of them. Yeah, definitely.
Is it by one of the majors?
I can see like a live action kind of thing, and it's it's like an offshoot of one.
Like
of
a Dark Horse or what's that other one?
Actually,
Image.
I think it's full and independent.
I don't know if it's full independent or if it's one of the like little offshoot, little like smaller sub categories.
Interesting. Squirriors?
Squirriors.
Squirriors. Yeah,
it takes you a couple times to say it before you say Squirriors.
Yeah, SQ Warriors.
Look at that fucking squirrel with a bloody ass mouth.
But at some point,
that's not what I was envisioning.
I could see like a film being worked out of this, you know? So if you guys are talking about the big 300 kind of battle, I could see that kind of thing with a bunch
with
of squirrels.
With Warriors,
and different animals.
Get Zack Snyder on it, yeah.
Exactly.
The Legends of the Guardians. The Owls of.
The Squirrels of Squirriors.
The Squirriors of Gahool.
Sure.
Right, so Coco. It's a movie that we haven't seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
New movies come out on Vivid. We have American Assassin featuring Michael Keaton and Dylan O'Brien from the Maze Runner movies, where he's a young guy recruited to be an American assassin.
Looking forward to that coming out on HBO.
There you go. It's a definite watch at home type of movie. Despicable 3.
Ugh.
Despicable Me 3.
Never saw any of them.
You never saw any of them?
Not a single
one. I saw the first one.
Not a single one.
I saw the first one.
I saw the first one, and then I watched the second one.
Did you?
I watched the second one. It was one of those like, hey, can we go see this movie? Yeah, let's go see this movie.
Yeah, sure.
So,
I like the first one enough.
The first one was good. Soundtrack is really good.
Soundtrack
by Pharrell.
Oh, that's right.
It's
the soundtrack.
It's very nice, you know, something I can see you guys using show-wise.
Has he stopped wearing those stupid hats?
Oh, yeah. That's a couple years
ago. He threw it off.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that was just that one.
The wind blew one day.
Good. That's good. Yeah. Those hats were really dumb.
And then it's like, I'm not going back for that.
Good.
There's a Nicole Kidman movie coming out this week called Queen of the Desert, which was not well reviewed, but I only bring it up because it's directed by Werner Herzog. It's one of those.
She's as bad of an Australian as... She's Australian.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. She seems nice. I want to believe Nicole
Kidman. She seems nice.
I like Nicole Kidman. I want to believe she's nice.
I don't know.
Give me one Australian.
Dude, like, she's got to be really fucking weird. She married Tom Cruise.
I was going to say, do you think like...
Yeah, she married Tom Cruise.
And not just married. She willfully married Tom Cruise.
She married Tom Cruise.
Her and Mel Gibson do nothing but send each other horribly racist memes.
Probably.
those kind of friends.
Fucking Jews. Yeah, I know.
They sit around texting each other.
Their freaking DMs are horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, that's possible. I hope not. Please, Nicole Kidman, don't be like that. That's what come out on DVD. What's in theaters?
Just Getting Started.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I hadn't seen a single thing about this movie ever.
Never heard
saw three commercials for it this morning while I was at my parents' house, and they were watching like CBS Sunday Morning.
For your parents.
And then they were watching, my mom started watching like Real Housewives of Orange County reunion.
Okay, yeah. So that's what
and
they're
the
going for.
And the commercial kept popping up. It's Morgan Freeman, Tommy Lee Jones,
and Rene Russo.
And Rene Russo.
Really?
And it's during like a retirement resort or something. And like there's a feud between Freeman and Tommy Lee Jones. It was hard to tell.
Ooh, that sounds interesting to me.
It's a comedy of some sort. And
I could take those two.
Yeah. Oh, I like those two perfectly enough. Yeah, sure. And it definitely, and also like Rene Russo.
I wonder if Rene Russo is still hot.
I still think she's attractive. I thought she was like, very attractive in Nightcrawler, and that was only a couple years ago.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal, I can understand why you want to sexually harass.
You think there's residual like hotness as an actress gets older? Like,
nostalgic hotness?
Can be sometimes.
It's possible.
Yeah, like, she's really hot. I mean, she's a little bit older now, but like still want a little bit of that.
I think what that is actually, at least from personal experience, I think that is us aging up as they age. Mm-hmm. So as we age, we find women... older women that we wouldn't have found attractive 20 years ago, we're finding them attractive now because we're closer to that age range. So as women are aging, so for like example, Sarah Silverman, she's I think mid to late 40s now. I find her more attractive now than ever. I've always thought she was good looking, but I find Sarah Silverman more attractive now than ever. Demi Moore, I found her more attractive in her late 40s than when she was in her 20s. Sandra Bullock, I found more attractive in her 40s than when she was in her 20s. It may literally just be me.
Aging.
My age and my frame of reference.
So I can feel like that about Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis is still very attractive.
I can't anymore. I think you know what killed it for me?
For her age, she's very attractive.
It's the Activia thing.
Okay. Because you're thinking about her pooping.
All I can think about is that this woman has constant diarrhea.
Fair enough.
But when she did that scene in True Lies.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but what he's saying is that's residual nostalgic attraction. Because that is.
Yeah, she was older at that point.
20 years ago.
And she was playing that character. She's a mom, stay at home mom, and then she's still
And then she breaks out. It's like, oh, I can be sexy too. It's also written
in the And then Activia comes out, and it's like, oh, she's
like, oh, you're pooping. Why are you pooping everywhere? God damn.
She's the poop lady. Yeah, also coming out next weekend, The Shape of Water.
Oh yeah, limited release. Shape of Water's coming out in limited release. We already mentioned Guillermo del Toro. It's playing here in town at the Enzian in a couple weeks, I think. So we're going to have to wait a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And then I wouldn't be surprised then if it goes like wide and it's playing everywhere. And I mentioned this before, but for people who don't know, Guillermo del Toro a few years ago was working on a remake of The Creature from the Black Lagoon. Mm-hmm. And he already said that he was... just like the original, he was making a romance out of it. And that project fell through. He never made it for Universal.
So, this instead.
So he took his ideas and he made The Shape of Water. And it's a woman and a creature. And they romantically get involved. How romantic? I guess
we'll find out.
We'll find out. Same thing happened with District 9.
Yeah.
And that was Peter Jackson. But he was going to produce Halo, the Halo movie. And then he found Neil Blomkamp, who had only done a short film, never directed a movie, a feature-length film, but Alive in Joburg, starring Charlton Copley. Yep. And he showed him this, and that was pretty much a precursor to District 9. And he's like, oh, based on that, I believe you can make Halo. So they started getting together, and then the plug got pulled, Halo never happened, and then Peter Jackson's like, oh, we'll just take all our Weta resources that we had for Halo and put them into District 9. And that's how District 9 got made.
Really?
Yes. So... big projects fall apart and beautiful things come up out of them all the time. Just look at Jodorowsky's Dune.
I was about to say, Jodorowsky's Dune. Case and point.
Resulted in Alien and a dozen other amazing movies. So, sometimes things have to die for beautiful things to be born out of it. So hopefully that'll be one of them. What else we got?
That's it.
No, it's not. Is it really?
That's all I got. It looked decent on mine.
That's because... The Disaster Artist was listed last week as limited, but it's coming out in wide this week.
I don't know, man, how I feel about this thing. I've seen all these little spots about it.
I'm a fan of the movie.
I've seen The Room. I've seen The Room a bunch, so I want to see his take on...
the making of that.
The making of... the dramatic representation of the real-life making of this...
of The Room.
...fucking... god awful piece of garbage, most amazing movie I've ever seen.
You need to be into this. Because I have issues with James Franco anyway.
You just have to know.
Instantly a negative for me.
Well,
you're getting over a Franco hump.
If you've seen The Room, it definitely helps because just once you've seen that movie, you're just like, why?
But the reviews I read have said that you don't have to be familiar with The Room to appreciate this movie.
Okay, that's good.
But it helps.
Okay.
But it helps. You'd get more out of it.
Tommy Wiseau is a wacky guy.
Yeah, because when I see James Franco, I was like, I'm not watching this. Like, I just wrote it off.
You gotta get over to Franco. Fair enough. A lot of people gotta get over it. He wrote it and directed it.
One weirdo is just acting like another weirdo. That's all. Okay. That's all that's going on here.
Why so, man? He's not a weirdo. He's an alien. He's from another planet. So that's it in theaters? Yep. All right, Drew.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right. The doctor is here with your prescription for life. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Chris, sometimes you just need a break. I mean, I was going to go with, like, I don't have anything because I need to take a break because I had a really long fucking week, but I'm just turning it into sometimes you need a break. So, boom. Sometimes you need a break.
The doctor is out. Guys, take a break. We're going to take a break.
Let's take a
Crespo disco break. Like I said, here's a couple songs from John Bryan's Lady Bird soundtrack. You'll notice it sounds a little like Punch Drunk Love or I Heart Huckabees, Schenectady, New York, I Know Melissa, etc., etc. So listen to these songs, and we'll be back for the second half of the show. Got a lot to talk about. You guys ready?
Yep.
All right, let's do it.
Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Crespo Dome.
Woo! Here we go! Ep 256, we are doing that thing! Chill out, True Chicago Drew.
Nope.
Chico!
Yo! What's good?
Turn into a wolf. thanks for joining us, Chico. We appreciate it, buddy.
Of course,
your
man.
Ninth appearance on Cinema Crest.
No, like, so. I feel like I fell off for a little bit. I was trying to catch up and then I got blown away. Who's ahead the most now?
Etchy is sitting pretty at 12 or 13. I got a double check. Etchy. Yep, he makes himself available.
He's always available. Yeah.
It's pretty wonderful. It helps that he knows a lot about movies and he's comfortable in front of a mic. He's the most. Curtis Earth just hit 10 appearances last week.
Right.
Tying SBK at 10. And you're at 9. Simon Time is at 7, I think.
SBK hasn't even been on the show in like 3 years.
About two years.
And he's still just like, yep, not number one.
Last time he was on the show, I was still convinced that Trump couldn't be president.
Oh, me too. So was I.
That's all
I
wanted.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And then SBK was like, you know, there's racism. And I was like, I don't know, Kevin.
There's well, no way. Why would they elect that guy?
Why would they elect an openly racist, sexual predator and failed businessman?
Because it's America.
Oh, because he's a racist and he hates women. America.
Hey, kids. I'm going to be president.
I'm going to delete all this. Yeah, it's been a while. So you're at number 9. You're right there, man. Your next appearance puts you in the X Club. 10-time guest. Yeah, it's going to be a fun time. Good stuff.
Get? You guys have like special like shirts or something?
No. We're going to need like a plaque or something. Or
like a special...
That's a cosplay.
Oh, money. We need like... we'll put up a piece of styrofoam that we'll write on with a shirt.
I'm just going to make my own shirt. That says,
there you go.
10-time club.
There you go.
Yeah, you know what? So X Club.
What size are you? I think I'll just go to Goodwill and get me some extra large
Maui Jim.
Random T-shirts.
Get me a Maui Jim sweatshirt and
exactly.
Just write X on the back.
X, boom, here you go.
Make my day.
Welcome to the X Club.
Just X them up. Let's get the plugs out of the way, Drew.
Antihero 419 all over the internet as long as there is net neutrality.
As long as we have access to when that net neutrality kicks in.
Then I will not be on the Facebook or the Twitters or the Instagram or the anything that costs any more money than I already pay because that is bullshit. Yeah.
When these things start costing extra money.
I am out.
Don't be surprised to see PFT Media fold before it gets going. So thank you everyone for allowing this to happen. I blame you. Chico, where can people find you online?
You can find me at This Is Chico at most locations.
Yes.
And you can find Chico's Brain. It's exactly the way it's spelled. Chico's Brain.
Yep.
And
on Facebook. On
where
Facebook.
Can I find it?
It is within the Burn It Down show podcast right now.
Shout out to Burn It Down.
I'm going to be not pulling it off. I'm leaving that there and actually putting the episodes out like a week later.
Okay.
Through iTunes.
So what you're saying is if I crack open your skull right now, I won't find your brain because you left it at the podcast.
Well, you will. I brought it here for you guys. you'll find it now. It's just a little cranky because I had to pull it out of bed to bring it over.
Okay.
But it thought I had the day off.
Gotcha. Nope. Not this Sunday.
You can find it on Facebook as well. Chico's Brain on Facebook.
Check out the actual page. So listen to Burn It Down to hear Chico's Brain as it's released, or you can check it out a week later. There you go.
So what is it, in a cage or something?
Yeah, it's caged. and then people pay 2 bits to come look at it.
It's like a sideshow.
Yes, exactly.
So Chico's Brain is a sideshow freak.
We actually do 2 bits or a canned good donation.
Ooh,
there nice.
It doesn't go to any charity.
You're just hungry.
I just get fucking hungry.
I just like Chef Boyardee. Guys, Cinema Crespity, so on iTunes, rate us and review us. You can also listen on all the others. Thanks. PFT Media, check out all those shows that we have on pftmedia.com. Lady Raptastic, Orlando Opinion, Simon Time Trivia, etc., etc. You know how it goes. Hoping that there's abilities post-mortem. There was one last week. We'll see if there's one this week.
I mean, he's got, life.
Billy D has life. That is true. He's not dead.
He does
possess life.
He's got stuff going on, I'm sure.
He's got stuff going on, planning a wedding, etc., etc. Is he even doing anything? Or is Courtney doing anything?
I have no idea.
I haven't even met this girl.
I have.
Good for you.
I have a bunch. She's nice.
Is she worth marrying?
I don't know her that well.
very That's fair, honest answer from Drewster Cogburn about this, Billy D's fiance.
It's a good way to go though, because at some point you can approve of it after some time, or if it doesn't work out, sorry, Billy D.
You can just be like, I never fucking knew her anyway.
So, I just wasn't sure the whole time, bro.
I wasn't sure, man. I never get my.
No, I mean there are. Oh, like I got a buddy right now who he knows how I feel.
Oh yeah.
He knows.
But he doesn't care.
Nah, I don't.
Because he's getting his dick sucked. So yeah, he doesn't give a shit.
Exactly.
It's all about getting your dick sucked.
Is that really all it's about?
Isn't that what it's all about? That's what Porky's and Meatballs in those movies told me.
Pretty much, huh? That's
what it's all about.
It's all about getting your pee-pee touched.
Mm-hmm. Or touching it to something.
Or touching it to something. What does that say? Electrified fence? Don't whiz on the electric fence.
Yes, it was. That was a board game from Ren and Stimpy.
Ren and Stimpy. Shout outs to Ren and Stimpy. They're listening, right?
Yeah.
Guys,
they're real.
Tweet us at Crespo Diso or tweet the network PFT Media. We'd appreciate that. Did I have anything else? Stickers at cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. If you want a free magnet, cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com.
We still have magnets?
We still have mine 4 or 5 over there.
Well, there we go. Look at that.
Give yourself a handful.
I mean, I figured they'd have been gone by now.
If you have 5, you've got 4.
There we go.
We just lost a magnet because Chico's taking one. So if you want one, cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. They are free. We will mail them to you. I feel like I'm missing something, but I'm sure I'll remember in the middle of the night.
Tonight. Or not.
Alrighty then, let's get into what are we gonna do?
Movie news. Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down, he's been berating fans, walking off stage, so what's going on with the beans?
That's right, the most important segment in all of podcasting, the Cinema Crespediso movie news segment. Celebrity beach bods, especially during the winter. Those hot couple divorces. Ooh, who's getting divorced this week? We'll find out later. But first, need a Justin Bieber update. Chico, what's going on with the Biebs?
Last thing I saw the Biebs, he was hanging with my ex.
With your ex?
Yep, I can't talk to Orson about that, though.
Oh, boy. Oh man.
Fucking Bieber stole my girl.
Bieber, it happens. No!
I mean, I'm sure he stole a lot of people's ladies.
Yes, he has. Takes them on church dates.
Babe. What a weird thing to do.
That's what he does now. Yeah.
So weird.
Church dates. Yeah.
Not, no, what?
All right, let's do real quick, super fast, Drew. Do I even
want to
use any of these?
I don't know.
This week in rape culture. That's right. We talk about that awesome bro rape culture. That is life. I'm just going to shut that off. obviously, a lot going on in the last few weeks. Post-Weinstein. A lot of people getting their just desserts. The roosters have come home to... What is it? The chickens have come home to roost.
There you go.
The cows have come home to milk. The rapists have come home to jack off in plants.
What?
Harvey Weinstein. To jack off in plants?
Harvey Weinstein did that once. He jacked off into a plant in front of someone. You didn't know that one? You didn't hear about that one, guys?
I haven't heard that one.
You didn't hear that one? That's factual.
Into a plant.
In like a hotel kitchen, he was talking to a woman, and he masturbated and then into a plant.
I mean...
Into a potted plant. May have been a fake plant.
I don't understand how you, when you get to a point like... masturbating like Louis C.K. kind of thing, where masturbating in front of like people that don't want
that
you
don't
to.
Want it,
yeah,
that are visibly upset by it. Yeah,
but, I mean maybe that
like I could almost.
But what if that's your, maybe that's your thing?
Maybe
yeah,
that's
but I can
what
almost
got
understand
him
just flopping it out in front of somebody like the whole flasher thing.
Yeah,
some weird way I can be like you know,
to then manipulate yourself in front of someone.
Well, the same concept of like just sending a random dick pic to somebody like you're just well look,
penis.
Does this change your mind? But whip it out and be like, no, I'm gonna jerk off in this plant.
Yeah,
yeah, that's I'm just saying
like something tells you no.
That's an odd spot to finish.
Doesn't something say no in your head and be like,
apparently not.
It should, but his head is broken. That's also why Weinstein. A lot of people are. Accuse him of straight up like breaking and entering and rape, and I would not be surprised if by this time next year he is on trial for like legit sexual assault, not just sexual harassment.
We'll see.
But I'm bringing all this up this week because there is of all the people, and it's great to see people finally coming out and feeling empowered enough to say this person did this to me, and then everyone else in society being like, we believe you, as opposed to prove it. You know, that was the way it was before. Before it was, oh, you said this person sexually assaulted you. Prove it. Now it's like, no, we believe you because this shit does happen all the time.
Right.
One person is not getting the support, the same level of support or the same level of justice. That person is Terry Allen Crews.
Terry Crews. I heard this story.
Terry Crews. Yeah.
Heard this too.
In the very beginning of all this shit, he was like, look, sexual assault happens to men. I was at an industry party and an agent, I never even knew this person, was making eyes and gestures at me from across the room. And then at one point came up to me and grabbed me by my dick and then did it multiple times in front of my wife. And he was like, I wanted to beat that dude's ass. But my wife reminded me, if I did that, I would be thrown in jail. And Variety the next day would say, 240-pound black man beats agent up. Uh-huh. As opposed, you know, he was protecting himself. So,
And it's the double standard that nobody wants to talk about.
No one wants to talk about this one right now. Now, here's what's going on. This is why I'm bringing this up specifically. The agent in question is a very powerful agent, not just some schmuck. As a matter of fact, it is Adam Sandler's agent.
Ah!
So, connected lots of money. Literally connected to everyone in the industry. He was suspended from his agency for a month. I think it was Variety. Someone reported that this agent went back to work to the agency, gave a very tearful apology, like gathered everyone. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, blah, blah. Juice the guy first of all. The mice, the mouse came in. We have a new mouse announcer who announces.
Little guy. Hey, little guy. Oh, he just goes right back in the
hole. And it just goes back in the hole. It's very trained.
His name's what? Well. Mucky?
His name's Mucky the Mouse.
Mucky Mouse?
Mucky Mouse. Mucky the Mouse.
We're really
trying to watch out. Copyright there. Let me finish the story real quick and then we'll get into True Sky Reverse the World. Variety reported this guy, he's back to work. He gave us a tearful apology, but he is back to work. And Terry Crews retweeted that story. In all caps, someone got a pass. Mm-hmm. So since he came out with his story, this guy has barely had anything happen to him. He's back to work and no one's going to bat for Terry Crews. Even though he was sexually assaulted by this guy. So now it's like, all right, well, why are people drawing a line at sexual assault? How come we're backing up all these white women, but the black man isn't getting it? How come?
I also think as a man in general, you get no.
You won't get the same. You won't get the same because then you get the double standard of, you're a man. How come you didn't fight him off? How come you didn't fight back? It's the same thing when women say that they were forced into oral sex, and then guys said that awesome.
Why did his butt off his dick?
Why did you just bite down? God, you're so fucking stupid. I hate people so much. So, Terry Crews is not getting the support that he needs, and now he is sane. He is very open to the fact that now he is worried about his own career within the industry. Will he be ostracized because the person that he spoke out against is now back to work and is very, very connected? So, now will Terry Crews have trouble getting work?
We'll see.
We're going to find out, and it's going to be a real bummer. So, it's bullshit. It all sucks, and you got to support the victims, guys. All right, here we go. Drew Cockburn versus the world. Drew, this year you are 24-13. Winding down the year, only a couple weeks left, we can definitively say great record this year.
I'm going to beat Curtis Earth.
You beat Curtis Earth this year last week in a fucking great game. Really? It was a lot of fun. So coming off that emotional win, Drew, you are 24-13. This week's game is called East Coast, West Coast. All right. I'm going to tell you the movie. You tell me if this movie was set in New York City or Los Angeles. Very simple. New York City.
I feel this is going to be a lot more difficult than it claims to be.
I thought it was going to be easy, so we're going.
I hate it when he says that.
Group A or Group B?
I just hope the city's in the name.
I almost did.
Escape from New York. Escape from LA.
I almost did one. One movie is called Hollywood Stories, and it's set in New York. So I almost did that.
That would have fucked me up. That would have fucked me up real bad.
Yeah, but no, I didn't do that. So here we go, Drew. Two groups of five. A or B. What do you want?
Let's go Group A.
Group A. L.A. or New York? Number one, The Last Boy Scout.
Fuck. L.A.
That's correct. Number two, The Warriors. Not The Squarriors, but The Warriors.
New York.
That's correct. Number three, Jackie Brown.
L.A.
That's correct. It opens up in LAX. Number four, The Royal Tenenbaums.
New York.
Correct. And number five, Predator 2.
New York.
L.A.
Oh,
that puts you at 4 out of 5.
Really?
That's great.
Bitch.
Here we go.
At, why is it always that I want
called
your
you edgy
question.
For some reason?
Really, yeah. Always, I listen to yours. I'm like, I knew all this.
All right, here we go.
Chico. I choose well randomly, I guess.
Number one, Ghostbusters.
New York.
Correct. Number two, Heat.
New York.
L.A.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, number three.
What's the point of going on?
Number three, happy. Boogie Nights.
That was L.A.
Correct. Number four, Panic Room.
New York.
Correct. Number five, Once Upon a Time in America.
Once Upon a Time in America.
You not know this one, Drew?
That's even a movie?
It's a fucking fantastic movie. Sergio Leone.
New York.
That is correct. Oh, nice. 4 out of 5. We got a tie. Oh, shit.
Afro circus.
I like it, though.
All right, here we go. 2 pieces of paper. Paper for you and a pen on the floor.
On the floor. On your side.
Here we go. I got you. There you go. And that's for you. And I dropped this.
I got a pen.
And I'll put that. You got a pen. Here we go. Tiebreaker. Closest. To the pin, and we're doing this by year. How close can you get to this year? You guys remember, we mentioned Adam Sandler's agent, and you remember he did that movie, Mr. Deeds?
Okay.
Like 12 years ago, yeah? That was a remake of a Jimmy Stewart movie, Mr. Deeds Goes to Washington. Have you heard of that one?
I have.
Mr. Drew, have you heard of Mr. Deeds Goes to Washington?
No.
It's a Jimmy Stewart movie. I need you guys to tell me the year that Mr. Deeds Goes to Washington was released. What year? And we're doing closest to the pin. Doesn't matter if you're over or under. I just went close. So Drew's locked in his answer. Chico locked in his answer. Okay, can I get that pen back, please?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. All right. Drew, you said Mr. Deeds Goes to Washington came out in 1959. Chico, you said 1972. The correct answer is 1936. Drew, you win. Well done. Putting you at 25 and 13 for the year. Well
nice
done.
Showing, sir.
Yes, good job, guys. I love a good tiebreaker.
Very nice work.
That's always a lot of fun. All right, back to the movie news.
What the hell is Once Upon a Time in America?
Once Upon a Time in America is Sergio Leone, the guy who did The Good, and Bad, and the Ugly, and all the Clint Eastwood, Man with No Name. Spaghetti Westerns. In the 70s, he did Once Upon a Time in America, which is a very epic story about Italian immigrants going to New York City, making a life for themselves, and it's them really young, and then when they're older, Robert De Niro is in it, and it is, like, epic. It's so good. It's almost gets, like, forgotten in the wake of the Godfather movies and Apocalypse Now, all that great 70s stuff. It is, man, it is great. But it is long. I think that's maybe why people don't sit down to watch it too often. It's almost like 2 movies in one. If they made it today, they would have made it into 2 movies. Back to movie news. Here we go. Terry Crews not getting the justice he deserves. Masters of the Universe is moving forward as a movie.
Seriously.
Who's in it?
Not cast yet. No casting. Man. But they did find a director, and it's David Goyer, who his most popular movie as a director is probably...
Hellboy, right?
He wrote Hellboy.
Oh,
I think
he
co-wrote Hellboy. Okay. He co-wrote all the Blade movies, and he directed Blade Trinity,
yes,
which is terrible.
It's bad.
But is it his fault, though? Partially. Wesley Snipes was very, very, very difficult on the Blade Trinity set, apparently. So if you watch Blade Trinity, you'll notice that Ryan Reynolds' character, because he's in it, he'll often, like, ask a question.
And then answer it himself.
And then answer it himself. And it's because Wesley Snipes wouldn't say his dialogue. He would just stand there. He, for some reason, he didn't was not happy on that
really?
Set. So they gave Blade's dialogue to Ryan Reynolds' character. So he would say his own line and then Blade's line.
I need to go back and watch that.
It almost makes it worth watching the movie. When you watch and when you know how difficult of a production it was that Wesley Snipes didn't want to talk, he barely wanted to leave his trailer. And then you watch the movie and how it turned out. Like, man, this is fascinating. It becomes a fascinating watch.
I love the original Blade.
The original Blade is a lot of fun. I like Blade 2 more.
Blade 2 is pretty good.
It's a Guillermo del Toro movie, so that's probably why I like it, just because I'm a mark for him. But David Goyer is going to direct the Masters of the Universe movie. Yeah, it's probably not going to be.
Is Dolph Lundgren going to show up?
That would be so cool.
I hope so. I loved He-Man as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And
so did I.
Masters of the Universe with Dolph Lundgren is one of the DVDs I own.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah.
I love that.
And it's,
it's, oh, so, man, bad.
It is so bad.
But as a kid, watching that come to life again,
yeah,
I gave it the whole pass. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Skeletor?
Yeah.
Was great. I thought Skeletor was great.
Well, Skeletor, first off, is Frank Langella.
Right. Yeah.
He's like a legit actor.
Yeah.
And then the makeup they gave him is fantastic.
It was great.
Like, he looked really good.
Like, whatever the troll things were stupid. Those little trolls that had the musical device.
The music thing, yeah. And it was like straight out of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Yeah. Like,
that was pretty dumb.
It's just so weird. It's Masters of the Universe. Like, it's almost like Avengers Infinity War. It's Masters of the Universe. It's a huge story. The whole thing takes place in, like, Main Street, USA.
Yeah.
And, like, this tiny nondescript town where there are also no people there. Everyone is gone. No, the streets are always empty. It is like,
it's weird. It's so weird.
Weird movie. There's a scene where they discover barbecue. And then Man of Arms is eating it.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are these sticks? And Man of Arms is like, oh, those are bones, animal bones. And then the girl's like, we're eating actual animal. I didn't know that they were vegetarian in it. We mentioned Guillermo del Toro. He's not doing a new Hellboy. They are doing a new Hellboy reboot with David Harbour as Hellboy.
Who's David Harbour?
David Harbour is the sheriff in Stranger Things.
Okay.
Yeah, the big guy.
All right, I mean, Ron Perlman's still...
Oh, no, hell. What's his name again?
David Harbour. He was also
in a picture.
He was also
I know.
A Walk Amongst the Tombstones.
I just saw the other season of the horrible season of Stranger Things too.
Stranger Things too, yeah.
Didn't like it.
He's in it very much. That is coming out.
He looks crazy as fucking Hellboy, man.
He will. Does he?
Did they have makeup?
Yeah.
They did a makeup test with him?
Yeah.
Because the movie doesn't come out until January 2019. Yes.
2019.
Okay. Yeah, so it's over a year away. I mean, they're just going to production now, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Hellboy.
He's definitely... holy shit.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was that jacked.
Oh, he's a big guy, right? Yeah, so he's already a big guy, yeah. So he just has to work out, get with a trainer, and then get to the right size that he needs to be.
Yeah, I mean, that's just makeup, so...
But the face makeup, it looks good.
But yeah.
It looks good. All right, so that's coming January 2019. Cool. There you go. And again, also speaking of Guillermo del Toro, the movie The Shape of Water. Have you seen any marketing for it?
I have not.
Okay, so this is the only... Can you pull through a picture of the creature from The Shape of Water?
Mm-hmm. So obviously, they had to change the creature from what...
Yeah, so it's not the creature from the Black Lagoon, right? But it's still like some sort of underwater creature. Looks very similar to the underwater creature from Hellboy, actually. And it's played by the same guy, Doug Jones.
Oh, it's the same guy?
The same actor. Because he's the same dude that Guillermo del Toro works with. In Pan's Labyrinth, he was the Fawn. He was also the guy with the hands, the monster. He was all those creatures. Okay. He played them all. So he plays the main creature in this movie. And
he looks like the water guy from Hellboy.
Yeah, that's what we were saying.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Yeah, very much.
But that is like a makeup. It's suit. It's not CG.
No, it's a dude in suit.
It's a dude in a suit, right? Yeah. So apparently that suit was brutal to wear. Doug Jones had to slather his body in KY jelly in order to get it on.
Yeah.
And then
it looks skin tight.
It's skin tight. It was 100% skin tight. So it was very tight, hard to move around in. And it also soaked up water like a sponge, making it very heavy.
Oh.
He's playing an aquatic creature in a water tank. So all day, the suit is wet and heavy and restricting, and it was just a nightmare for him to wear.
It looks really cool, though.
It looks amazing. Guillermo del Toro said that they had to put the same suit on a body double for a dance sequence, an actual dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And Guillermo del Toro said... Quote, he got into the suit, did one pirouette, and then proceeded to projectile vomit.
Ha.
So that's what it was like to wear that suit making that movie.
Wow.
Gave it to a body double dancer, and he
vomited. He's like, too much.
Trying to dance in it. Doug Jones had to act in it and, like, emote and give a performance as an otherworldly creature, not even as a human. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it.
Maybe not otherworldly creature.
Oh, who knows? He might be from this world.
I mean, they said one of the lines in the trailer is the...
you mean the trailer gives away too much?
The people in the Amazon worshipped him as a god.
That's right. He may have crashed from outer space into the Amazon.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, that's what happened with Predator.
Yeah. Or somebody had sex with a weird
fish. Or someone had sex with a weird fish thing. Yeah. Well, stop having sex with weird fish things, people.
But it wouldn't have been from the Amazon. It would have been from, like, South Bithlo.
Take that, Bithlo.
What'd you do with that fish?
Shout out to our Bithlo.
Bithlo, the Nightmare Before Christmas.
Ayo, take that. We were talking off mic about how you're watching more shows and stuff. Have you had a chance to watch Mindhunter on Netflix?
I started it. I did not finish it. I started watching it, and I was doing something else, and so I wasn't paying attention to it. You know, you start something on
Netflix.
That's
a show you gotta watch.
You're not exactly paying attention. When I caught up to it, like when I went back, I'm like, oh, I'm lost.
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah, it's a show you gotta watch to see how the... the characters, their relationships evolve and stuff. Because while it's a show about the FBI interviewing serial killers and putting together their first profiles of serial, defining what a serial killer is and all that, that's what the show is ostensibly about. Mm-hmm. Just like most shows, it's really about the relationships between the characters, the FBI agent, his new girlfriend, his partner, et cetera, and things like that. And I think it's one of the best shows to be released this year. One of my favorites. I loved it. I watched the whole show in a week, and that's a lot for me because I have to make time to watch these things. Season 2 has been announced officially on Netflix. They're definitely doing a Season 2, which is a joy to me because they teased the BTK killer for the second season.
Like, oh, nice.
They're setting up the BTK killer, but he didn't actually do anything. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen in the second season. And they also reference Charles Manson a lot, saying, like, oh, I would love to interview Charles Manson. And with him just dying.
I was about to say RIP.
Now he's in the more in the pop culture zeitgeist again. Maybe they'll push forward with that. Yeah. They'll find a person to play Charles Manson. They'll actually do it in the second season. So we'll see. And then I didn't pull the story, but I still want to mention it. Quentin Tarantino's movie has a release date of August 9.
Which movie?
2019. It doesn't have a title. Originally, it was reported as being a movie about Charles Manson and the Manson family murders.
Okay.
But then Tarantino came out recently and said, no, it's actually about the 60s. Specifically, it's about the last summer of the 60s, August 1969, so the Manson murders is like a backdrop. It's a major thing that happened at that time, but it's really about everything that's happening that summer. And, I mean, summer of 69 as well. It's Woodstock.
Yeah, everything.
It's Altamont, you know, Rolling Stones, it's Manson. It's a lot happening that summer. The release date is August 9, 2019, which is 50 years after the... It's a 50-year anniversary of Sharon Tate's murder, which... now there's a big debate online as to whether or not this is in poor taste. For Tarantino to pick that release date, like, oh yeah, this woman died 50 years ago this day, now watch my movie. But the movie isn't about that, though. It's about the 60s. And then someone pointed out online, August 9, 1969, a lot of sociologists, I guess, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, people declare August 9, 1969 the day the 60s died. Mm-hmm. And the day, you know, the end of hippies... And all that stuff.
Okay.
That specific day is when it all ended. So that may be another reason why he picked it, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm still, after all these years and seeing interviews and Tarantino and stuff, I'm still on the fence as to whether or not he's smart or dumb. Like, he's smart when it comes to movies, but he may be dumb when it comes to a lot of other stuff. He doesn't have a formal education.
Mm-mm. I think you're right. I think it's one of those things where he's really good at making movies.
At what he does.
And then, I mean, he's just kind of like flipping it to everything else.
I think so.
Like, he's just...
I don't think he's necessarily the smartest guy outside of his lane, you know? That being said, he's still one of my favorite filmmakers. Mm-hmm. That being said, he also... Why did he know about the wine scenes? How complicit is he? Anyway, we won't get that. We finished the rape segment for the show. all right, let's get into... Unfortunately, there is no Billy D Death of the Movies this week, so the Fingermen definitely got him.
Maybe the movies finally killed him.
Death of the Movies, the movies brought death to him. You're supposed to bring death to the movies, Bill, not the other way around. No.
Oh, there's confusion there, because, I mean, Death of the Movies, him dying at the movies, we'd be like,
he's on brand.
That was the plan.
He's staying on brand. Death of the Movies, don't die at the movies, Bill. Just don't get married. You don't have to go that far to get out of your wedding.
Wow, really?
Don't do this. Look, we don't know each other. Yeah. Like, one guy to another.
Really? Trust that's where me, we're going with
right
this?
Now, this is really important.
Bill, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun times.
Just have a party with your boys then.
Party. You're looking forward to the wedding and reception.
You don't need
But then you leave, and then he's like, oh, now I'm married to this woman.
Yeah, good for Bill.
Bro.
That's his decision that he's making for his life. Mm. More power to him.
All right, I'm just saying. Then why did he get himself killed at a movie theater?
Just drink and celebrate your relationship.
Just drink and celebrate.
Yeah, just celebrate the relationship.
Is he even listening? He hasn't even sent in a Billy D's at the movies in 2 weeks. He's probably not even listening. Did he abandon us? Billy, why did you abandon us?
She already pulled him away from it.
She already pulled him away.
That's what happens. They change.
Is that what happened? He's changing.
That's what happens, man.
She's changing him?
Trust
Drew,
me.
Is that what's happening? You've met her. Is she a changer?
No.
Is he a changeling?
Not that I'm aware of.
You said you don't really know.
So but you don't even know her, though.
The only
you know as much about her. You know slightly more about her than I do.
Yes.
I know he stopped drinking.
Yeah, he stopped drinking.
He stopped drinking.
He's changing.
So that's good.
Is that good?
Yes.
For him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Very good.
Yeah.
Very
is that because good. Of her?
I don't know.
Because a lot of times that kind of change, those changes don't last.
It's
I can get real cynical here.
That may be a change you should have made a long time ago.
Oh, that's a change we all should make.
Speak for yourself.
Don't judge my drinking.
Yeah. Fuck. That's funny. Simon Time gave me a bottle of Tito's vodka, a big bottle, a couple weeks ago. Like 3 weeks ago now. He gave me a big old bottle of vodka. Wonderful guy. Appreciate him for that. And then I saw him yesterday, we recorded yesterday's show, and then on the way out, he's like, hey, how's that bottle of Tito's doing? Are you so good on that?
I was like, no, bro, I think
3 weeks. That was done weeks ago, my friend. I have since put down another bottle of Tito's. Now I'm working on a free bottle of Absolut I got from my mom. So, oh, and also did a bottle of Tower Vodka since then as well. Yeah. It goes on the lower calories thing as well.
Is that thing?
It's,
that's what I do with gin.
Yeah, I stopped. I haven't stopped. I still drink beer, but nowhere near.
It's
as
so
much
hard.
As
I love beer, and I just
I
can't.
I love beer.
Makes you so fat. I know the pain, bro. It's like it just makes you so fat.
And then I wanted to be a craft beer. I wanted to be high alcohol.
Make you so much fatter, like craft beer.
Those are the 200 cal.
I love all the craft beer people out there. I love your stuff. Like I'm like your biggest fan. But God damn it, Bud Light is so much better for you.
You are.
It tastes like shit. Yeah. But if I'm going to drink a beer and I want to stay healthy, Bud Light is just an easy way to drink.
That's the thing.
Mick Ultra.
That's the thing. I'm going to go the opposite way. If I'm going to drink a beer, then it's going to be rare, but I'm going to drink a beer that I love. I'm going to have a High Life, Cigar City. I'm going to have an OBP.
As an alcoholic.
And then I'm just going to take those calories, unfortunately. I'm like, today I am choosing to take the calories, and then I'll go back to Club Soda and Vodka tomorrow.
That's the same thing I do. If I really want a beer, I just get a really good beer.
Yeah, and just accept
drink
it.
Seven of them, and then
exactly. Well, that's the thing too. Now I'll say, so now I'm drinking less beer, so it's taking less of these like high octane craft beers, like really get that buzz going. I don't have to drink a whole six pack of High Life anymore. Yeah. I can now drink three of them and get feel that buzz. All right, Drew.
It's such a
if you say so.
It's such a weird balance.
It is a weird balance.
It's like I can get drunk for cheaper if I just don't drink.
Yeah,
that often.
Yeah, but I want to be drunk more often. So how do I do it? Yeah, vodka to the rescue. Excuse me. I almost threw up all over everything.
That would have been great.
That would have.
So there you go. That's your movie news. There is no Billy D, so that means we're jumping to the Vox Populi.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous...
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
That's right. What you see, you let us know via email form, and then we read it on the show. Drew, take it away.
Got an email from our homeboy, Gabe.
What's up, Gabe?
What up, Gabe?
What up, show? Gotta bring this to a screeching halt, but I want to recognize Chris.
Hey, recognize.
I've never lost someone close to me, but I do want to empathize. I don't know how to grieve. I don't know how to move on. Hopefully, with time and friends, you can move towards peace. When I was down in my feelings, regular things like this show and other podcasts I follow helped me through it. And despite how personal, I hope you find retribution in the entertainment you give us.
Aww.
It may help others like me. Anyways, some movies on YouTube TV, but no reviews for now. Nothing new. Saw the Book of Mormon Saturday in Miami.
Oh,
it
cool.
is excellent.
Oh, that's cool.
A yeah. complete story and rewatchable.
Wow.
It is anti-theater while being an excellent theater production. So enjoyable. See it, people. That's all. Hear you soon.
Thanks, Gabe.
You're appreciated, Chris.
Oh, man. That's nice that someone, at least one person, appreciates me. Thanks, Gabe.
I appreciate you, buddy.
Oh, thanks, Chico. I wasn't fishing, but I like what I caught.
Chris, I hope you're rotten hell.
I knew that already. Yeah, that's nothing new.
Awesome.
Nothing new. So Book
cute.
Of Mormon, I feel yeah, the show has been documenting our love-hate relationship for years now, you know? I love this guy and
I hate him. Yeah.
That's how it works.
The Book of Mormon, I feel like, is that the last good thing Trey Parker and Matt Stone have done?
Yes, because South Park is not
South
anywhere near
has
as
been
good.
Fucking garbage.
Even their video games.
Few years
even their video games aren't that good.
Really?
Yeah.
You played the fuck out of that game for like a week.
It's classic RPG. It's nostalgia.
Game, just because yeah. Like I've tried watching ever since that one season where Whole Foods moved into town on South Park. Have you seen any South Park races?
Yeah.
There's a season where Whole Foods moved in and they tried to do an overarching story throughout the whole season.
Did not work.
And the principal was like Mr. PC and like but he was aggro about being PC.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They've been really pushing this whole like libertarian thing on the show lately, and it's like not even in a smart way. I feel like the show used to be smarter. I don't know.
Well, you know, this but it was a change. I mean, they were very liberal at one point, and they pushed a lot of that. I mean, with there was kind of their focus for a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I think with the recent political climate, like, they kind of went through, fuck both of them, go libertarian, and then that's what they're pushing.
I almost feel like they're turning into the skid. And instead of going liberal with it, they're going like the opposite direction, and it's like not funny. But then there's this weird thing where conservative politics are never funny. Being conservative is not funny. And there are comedians, quote, comedians, who try to be conservatively funny, and it doesn't work.
It does not work.
Just look at Dennis Miller. All of a sudden, he flips his politics.
He's not funny.
And then it's like, where did the jokes go? Now you're just like yelling about black people and gay people. That show Red Eye that was on Fox. You ever see that show?
No.
It was on for like a good 10 years too before they canceled it finally. And I tried watching, but like, let's see, maybe they can make it work. And it was a show they had on really late at night, 11:30, 12 o'clock. And it was their version of The Daily Show. It was their answer to The Daily Show. It was Fox News being like, well, if left-wing liberals can have a comedy show that's about the news of the day, how come we can have one that's right-wing leaning, but it's also a comedy and it's about the news of the day?
It's not funny.
It's not fucking funny. The people were like the unfunniest people possible. Yeah. And like, you think these are jokes? They're not. They're barely sentences. They're barely thoughts. And it was on for a decade.
See, I would, but that's what I'm saying. I'm wondering if that's just not funny to us. I
mean,
the same way that we would be like, there's no way we would ever elect, you know, this guy as president.
Right.
No. He's there because enough people did.
Yeah. Fair enough.
That's where the market is. We don't know. We don't know that market.
Is it just because we're not finding humor? I still feel like, though, I appreciate humor and comedy to a point where you can joke about anything. If it's funny, it's funny, you know? And if you can make me laugh with a smart joke, then make me laugh. So I don't feel like they're ever got smart with it.
I think the problem is when it comes to political stuff, if you are... if you care at all, a lot of that stuff does affect you. And if it's geared towards what you feel and what you agree with, then it can be funny.
It can be.
But if it's against your beliefs, you're more offended and like, this is not good. You shouldn't be making fun of this. And comedy isn't always comedy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could say if something's funny, it's naturally funny.
Mm-hmm.
It is until it really offends you. And if it offends you in a deeper level and hurt. And,
but
you
know, the thing
you're
is,
like, no, you shouldn't feel that way.
But then to speak to that, though, so if the joke is offending you in some way, then that means what is the joke? What's the basis of the joke? So is the joke punching down or punching up? If a joke is punching up and speaking truth to power, then who's going to be offended? The powerful.
But if the punching up and punching down is all from perspective.
Correct. Mm-hmm. It's from the perspective of power. So,
but you feel if you believe that that's your political belief,
then
you agree with it.
But
you agree with the punch.
But my argument is that then it's more objective than that. Punching down means who's the basis of your joke? Are you making fun of gay people? Or are you making fun of black people? Or are you making fun of women? Then you're punching down because these are historically oppressed segments of society. Are you making fun of straight white men? Well, now you're punching up because they are historically have been in power. Are you making fun of transgender people and saying, you know, look at all these transgender women trying to fake men into having sex. We should kill them all. That's a line of joking that people still do to this day. Dave Chappelle made a joke like that.
People think it's okay,
just a couple years ago. And some people think that's okay when you're clearly punching down. So I don't know. I think it's a little more clear cut than that, but it is about perspective from where are you looking? Where does the power lay? But you can still also, no matter where you are, can recognize other people are oppressed. Other classes are oppressed. And you don't have to make fun of those people to get your joke across.
I agree with you that you shouldn't have to. I just think there's a lot of people out there that don't view things. There's a huge part of our society that doesn't, and they might not be as vocal about it because I think on our end, the liberal side is a lot more vocal about stuff. I think we can get into a super political.
We can spend the next hour.
Yeah, but I just think it's one of those that they're out there, and obviously it was on the air for that long because somebody cared. Somebody cared enough to watch it.
Enough people watch it. Well, Fox has been and still to this day the number one watched news channel. Yeah. But then, God, these people. Last thing we're gonna say, they're gonna move on. I saw online a Fox News article about some. Someone was like, we finally have to admit that there may be a link between Trump and Russia with the whole Michael Flynn pleading guilty to lying to the FBI about talking to the Russians and to talking to a, quote, senior staff member. And someone wrote an article, we finally have to admit that there may be a connection. It's hysterical. You go down to the comments section, fake news, fake news, fake news. People saying Fox is fake news because they reported something that is a fucking fact.
Yeah.
Michael Flynn is pled guilty to the FBI. Yeah. Fake news. So we're fucked.
Nope. It's a different reality.
We're completely fucked.
It's a complete different reality for them. And
We're screwed as a society. Next story. Or next email. I'm sorry.
I got an email from Scott.
What's up, Scott? Scott's our homie. We love Scott.
He's got reviews of Blade Runner, Lady Bird, and Three Billboards.
Look at that. And he saw three movies. Let's talk about it.
Blade Runner 2049.
Nice.
I liked it a lot more than the original.
All right.
Yep. I saw it.
Okay.
Finally. In a proper cinema with only one other person.
That's
on the biggest screen possible with the loudest speakers possible at the time.
Excellent.
But damn it, I really wish I hadn't fucked it up the first time because the screen could have been so much bigger and the speakers so much louder. I'll be kicking myself for this for a long-ass time, but hey, even on the smaller big screen with the smaller loudspeakers, I still saw its visual greatness, I still felt it rattle my bones, and it was fucking glorious.
Yes.
My biggest takeaway, for a 2 hour and 45 minute running time, I didn't sense a minute of it. The plot is well laid, easy to follow, very compelling, and pacing is surprisingly steady.
Mm-hmm.
Even the enormous amount of gratuitous cinematography was so fucking beautiful. You never once feel like you're being strung along. Never bored, never waiting for something to happen. Oh, we're looking at yellow light ripping like water across an overly vast set design. Okay, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that's just spectacular to look at. I can do this all day.
There are a lot of shots in Blade Runner. It's just a gorgeous shot for almost gorgeous sake.
Really?
The dump was beautiful.
Yeah, even the garbage dump. That is San Diego. San Diego's the new garbage dump. And it's like, this is amazing. This is so cool.
I was thwarted going to see it. I was going to see it and got a flat tire.
Oh, that's the worst.
Right, shut it down and never made it back.
Damn it. Oh, flat tire. Fuck, that is the Christmas spirit right there.
Oh, and Ryan Gosling got this shit kicked out of him for what felt like 4 hours. That poor bastard took some severe beatings.
Yeah.
If I ever take so many beatings, I hope to have such a dope jacket on the whole time.
His jackets are great.
Four out of 4 stars.
All right, you like it? Yeah, man, you got to get around to seeing it eventually. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous movie.
Lady Bird.
Lady Bird, we just talked about it.
I got in a convo with a Twitter acquaintance about this movie yesterday.
All right.
She said it was good, but wondered about the stellar reviews, specifically the Rotten Tomatoes score.
Yeah, and Rotten Tomatoes, it's at 100% because everyone likes it. No one doesn't like Lady Bird.
I then mansplained to her the binary nature of Rotten Tomatoes ratings and felt icky about being that guy. Well, after seeing it myself today, my Twitter acquaintance was 100% right.
All right.
This is indeed a good movie, but it's not only good. Laurie Metcalf probably deserves a supporting actress Oscar nod for her role as the mother in this daughter-mother slice of story. I'd have to see the rest of that Oscar field before giving it to her outright.
Mm-hmm.
But even with Metcalf, the movie is just good. That's all. It's cute, funny, and heartfelt, though some of the drama felt a bit forced. There's absolutely nothing bad about this film at all. It just doesn't hit the notes as cleanly as it wants to. 3 stars and an extra half star only for Metcalf. Otherwise, 2.5.
All right, interesting. So you said it was good, but didn't like it as much as we did, it sounds like. Okay. We're just fine. That's the nature of art.
He agreed with the supporting actress nod.
Oh, yeah, for the mom. She's great. She's great. I really feel like that's just because it was a well-written role, and we're like...
And she's
watching the movie, we're recognizing ourselves, our youthful selves, our own relationships with our parents and everything. Like, I mean, I saw some of my dad in the dad character, some of my mom and the mom, some of me and Lady Bird, you know. So, I mean, I think a lot of that comes down to personal perspective.
Okay. And Three Billboards.
Three Billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri is Chico, a Francis McDormand, Woody Harrelson movie that's playing now.
Okay.
And when it comes to Oscar time, you'll be seeing, like, Frances McDormand should be nominated for Best Actress. Should be nominated for Best Screenplay. It's just, like, great. I think it's great. Not to undercut Scott. Let's see what Scott has to say.
Even if Frances McDormand wasn't already in it, I'd still say this film is the Fargo of the 2010s.
There you go.
For what was sold as a quirky, dark comedy, this was a lot more dark than comedy.
Yep.
Must say, hashtag good marketing for leading with the more funny aspects in the trailers. They probably sold a lot more tickets this way, and the film deserves all the tickets it can get. This is what we saw him in. That kid.
Lucas Hedges.
Yeah, he was in this. He was the son.
He was the son?
In Three Billboards, yeah.
That's right.
He was Francis McDormand's son.
He was the son.
The brother.
Yeah, the brother. Yeah. The brother of the dead girl.
Uh-huh.
That's right. Man, he's good.
But despite the marketing, I didn't feel suckered in the least because the darker shit was vibrant. McDormand was a force of nature blowing through this movie, lead actress Oscar nod. Harrelson is fantastic with a twist. And Rockwell takes a character arc that nobody sees coming.
Yeah.
I really enjoy this movie. And now I wanted to see the Netflix limited series that picks up where this movie leaves off. What a great ending. Six episodes max, half hour each. 3.5 stars.
Six 30-minute episodes picking up where they left off?
I'm down.
I'd watch it.
Yeah.
Especially if it was all road movie.
Yeah. Just them.
Just them on the road. Yep. That's good stuff. Yeah, Three Billboards. I'd highly recommend it. Okay. It's written by this guy, Martin McDonagh, who's an Irish fella, I believe. And he's a playwright. So all this stuff is just like... Because he's done movies too now, but right. All this stuff is just like very character heavy, very dialogue heavy, and great story plotting. Okay. Did you ever see In Bruges with Colin Farrell?
Yes.
Same guy.
Actually, you told me to see it.
Same guy. Yeah. Same guy. Great. So you did that, and then you did this. You also did another movie, Seven Psychopaths, with Sam Rockwell, which is just okay.
Okay.
It was okay. I wanted to like that one a lot more than ended up. But here we go. Scott Saw 3. That's a hell of a trio. Blade Runner 2049, Lady Bird, and Three Billboards. Mm-hmm. Those are three solid movies. Thanks, Scott. We appreciate it. What else we got?
I got an email from Christina Andrus.
What's up, Christina?
Hi. Have you guys seen my favorite horror movie of 2017 called The Black Coat's Daughter?
No.
I know you aren't a horror movie podcast, but I really enjoyed your review of It. I thought that Black Coat's Daughter was excellent. I watched it twice because it genuinely freaked me out. There is one scene in particular that really got me towards the beginning. It's a slow burn that pays off immediately in the end, trust me. Plus, it's set in the middle of winter, which adds to the tone of the film. I heard it had another title of February, but the director changed it. I wonder why they did that. Anyways, thought I would mention this one. I'm really enjoying the podcast. Have a lovely weekend, Christina in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma! Christina, get out of Oklahoma!
Seriously.
Unless you're in Oklahoma City. That could be cool.
I'm sorry.
Or Tulsa? I guess Tulsa's kind of cool.
I heard Tulsa's really nice.
Yeah, it's a city.
I heard Tulsa's really nice. But the rest of Oklahoma...
I have not heard a good thing about Oklahoma.
Listen, we have great coastal elitism on this show. We have zero respect for the flyover states that voted that orange buffoon into office.
I come from a state with two coasts.
how much more elitist can you get?
I was born in a state with two coasts. I'm from the west side of Florida.
So funny. Yeah, bring East Coast, West Coast to a whole new level.
Yeah.
No, we haven't seen Black Coat's Daughter. Actually, I wonder
if Bill has.
I went back and checked some older Billy D's Death of the Movies, and I didn't see it pop up. So maybe he hasn't. Billy, if you could hit us with your review.
Bill, if you're alive.
But for Christina, she said it was her favorite horror film of the year. I don't even know of it, so I'm gonna have to look it up. Thanks for the email and the suggestion. We appreciate it, and glad you like our It spoiler review. Very cool. And that's it for the emails there.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, nice. While you were talking, guess who hit us up?
Bill.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again. Heavy.
All right.
Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
What? Dude, we're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, time for Billy D's death. Death! 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 Death at the movies. Say, that one worked out pretty good.
You can tell he does
this
often.
Death at the movies. All the time. Death at the movies. Give it one, Drew. Go ahead.
Death!
Chico, give it one.
Death!
All right. That's a lot of fun, guys. Billy D's death at the movies, he... busted out of the van, ripped the bag off his head, and wrote us an email. He got away from de Blasio's fingermen. We appreciate it. What's up, my dudes? Sorry for the spotty dispatches. Life is real. This is what you said? You said life.
I did. I said life, man.
You know this guy. I've seen a bunch of stuff, but only a couple of things worth writing about as of late. Last night, I caught a fun little movie on Shudder called Another Evil. Do you know about Shudder, Chico? Mm-mm. Shudder is Netflix for horror films.
Really?
Yeah, it's like exclusively horror movies. Okay. And then I think it's only like $5 a month, something like that. It's supposed to have, if you're into horror,
yeah, it's worth
great selection. Bucks. Yeah, great selection of movies. It's about a rich painter who thinks his vacation home is haunted, so he hires an exorcist. This is like a funny version of the film A Dark Song. It is definitely worth watching. Have you ever seen A Dark Song?
No, I've not.
Neither have I. Drew?
Mm-mm.
That reference is lost on us. I watched the WBDC superhero crossover event this week, and it was fantastic.
Bill likes this.
He loves
garbage.
This shit. He's talking about the Arrowverse. Arrow stuff, you watch any of that stuff?
I used to watch it.
Which ones were you watching? Were you watching?
I was watching Arrow. I was watching Flash. Mm-hmm. Supergirl. I was watching the. No, I didn't. I didn't watch Supergirl. I watched Supergirl on NBC, and then I heard it got better when it switched. But I was
to CBS
when it
right.
switched. When it switched over,
yeah.
I was like, no,
interesting.
I don't want to watch it.
I don't want to watch any of that shit.
I watched Legends of Tomorrow too. And then
I saw like one episode of that. It was really weird.
It's the first season of it.
They're getting ready to do a spinoff of that too. Like I keep seeing commercials for it. Black Lightning. Have you seen any of that? One of the characters is called Black Lightning.
Yeah.
And I think his suit looks cool. Like, there's shots of him walking around with, like, a cool, colored up, like, very over-the-top looking suit. It looks cool. It's probably going to be a corny-ass show, but it's also a black superhero. I can support that. He is all about the Arrowverse and the Flash. I don't know if he watches Supergirl, though. I've tried watching a couple episodes of Supergirl. Drew can attest to this. I'm like, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm not going to close my mind to it. And Supergirl was pretty terrible. And then I watched some of The Flash, and I said this on the show. The Flash, it's like 30 minutes of it is great, and 30 minutes is the worst TV show I've ever seen.
Yeah,
and then they somehow go back and forth scene to scene, sometimes within the same scene. Like, this scene's great. Oh, now it's terrible. Oh, now it's great again. It's mind-blowing. Billy loves it, though. So he wrote, I watched a crossover event this week, and it was fantastic. Nazi versions of Supergirl and Green Arrow invade our Earth with the Reverse Flash and try to steal Supergirl's heart because Overgirl, parentheses Nazi Supergirl, flew too close to the sun and... whatever. Nazi superheroes versus the combined might of the TV Justice League. Why can't DC be this good in the theaters? Wow. That does sound kind of fun, though.
So, slightly better.
It does sound kind of fun. Yeah, slightly better. It does sound fun. It's a standalone movie, and one scene has every character in the DC TV universe on screen at once, and it looks like an Alex Ross cover. That's cool. Truly fantastic serialized storytelling. Seriously, what is the cinematic universe's excuse? Back to editing. Stay cool, Billy D.
You know what? I think the excuse is... Actually, I think I finally decided what the reason is, Chris.
You got it, Drew? Hit us with it. And we're going to end the show with your reasoning.
I don't think Scott Snyder's a good director.
Oh, you think he's straight up not a good director?
Straight up. Like, I've been thinking
Dawn
about...
of the Dead, 300, Watchmen.
Like, I've been thinking
Guardians
about
of the Galaxy, Owls of Gahoo. Those are four movies right there. Like, Man of Steel, I like two. There's five movies that I like.
And 20 minutes of that, Stu. As a whole, as an oeuvre.
When you're throwing in Sucker Punch.
When you're throwing your Sucker
Batman
Punch.
Batman vs. Superman.
Even...
Just Ice.
Yeah, you have to throw in the Justice Leagues, the everything. I mean, I just... I think he captured a visual style.
Okay.
I'll give him that.
Okay.
He was an innovator in visual style, but as a director...
As a storyteller?
And as a storyteller, I don't think he's any good.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. All right.
Because his best stuff has been stuff other people have written.
Watchmen, 300, both pre-written.
Owls of Gahool, I think
Owls
that
Gahool
was...
Owls of Gahool is a book series. It was supposed to be a start of a whole series of movies. Yeah. It just didn't make enough money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting.
Anything that he's
Dawn
done
of the Dead was written by James Gunn.
Exactly.
Yeah. He just directed the screenplay.
Great visuals, but as a director.
Yeah.
As directors, your Christopher Nolans.
Your Finchers.
Your Finchers, your stuff like that. Who?
Steven Spielberg's.
He's
not in that class.
Nowhere near it.
All right, there we go. So there we have a reason. You're not alone in that. A lot of people think handing the keys to the universe, the keys to the car to Snyder was a bad decision. And then I saw this posit online, right? So with Justice League, he wanted to, after his daughter committed suicide, he wanted to keep working on the movie because he saw it as a refuge.
No, exactly. It took his mind off it.
But Warner Brothers helped use that as a reason to get him off. They wanted him off. So what happened was Batman vs. Superman, they gave him too much rope. And he made that movie, and they're like, no, this did not, the tone did not come out right.
Right.
So that with Justice League, they tried to take away all that slack and really rein him in, and then that's what resulted in Joss Whedon coming on board, and then him taking over partway through, and now we have this Frankenstein movie, and now people are like, WB, you fucked up. Either you gave him too much leeway or not enough.
No.
And you gotta pick one and stick with it. So, that's a lot to do.
You know what really bothers me about the whole DC thing, too, is not keeping the shows... which do pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And keeping that consistency to your films. Like, you're giving us something different and expecting people...
Well, it seems like there's two completely different creative forces behind
that's
it.
And I get they say, it's different universes, that kind of thing. They're trying to use that comic book theory where there's an alternate universe.
Yeah,
no,
the multiverse theory. Yeah.
But if we get attached to a character, Green Arrow, I don't watch many of it, but that's a great fucking Green Arrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stephen Amell, he's great.
Yeah.
he should be Green Arrow in the films. Why not? The same Flash. Like, this Flash in Justice League is good. But the guy, I forgot his name, but on the WB series.
Yeah, he's already been the Flash for how long?
He's been a Flash for a few years.
Yeah, why not? You'll get why not make him the Flash?
Yeah, you'll get that build from the fans that already watched him and they want to see him on the big screen.
And I think he's fine, too. Like, I've seen a couple episodes. He's a fine Barry Allen. I mean, it's not like the Flash is such an iconic character.
And I was about to say, as far as a portrayal. Who the fuck is Ezra Miller?
We need to talk about Kevin. I mean, it's like...
Like I said,
yeah, it's not like he's super popular.
Like I said, who the fuck is Ezra Miller?
That they had to throw him in there to boost sales.
Exactly. Correct.
He was chosen for who he is and his style and everything. Right. So, but yeah, they did make a specific decision to keep those universes separate. Whereas Marvel was like, we're going to try to, everything's going to be connected, but they're not going to cross over in the same way.
Yeah.
Marvel's doing their own weird thing with the TV stuff versus. Like,
We're like, technically, I mean, yes. TV Daredevil is MCU Daredevil, but that just means we're probably never going to see Daredevil
in the MCU, in a movie.
In a movie, right. Even though what happens in those movies affects the storylines in
the
TV.
That's what I love. I love watching the shows, and you hear them talking about the incident. Even in S.H.I.E.L.D., when Captain America was a soldier, and the whole S.H.I.E.L.D. thing, Hydra taking over S.H.I.E.L.D., affected the TV show.
Yeah.
It's like, I get some continuation.
Exactly.
But then how come the Avengers don't mention that Agent Coulson's alive again?
I don't know. But
they've gone a long time without mentioning Agent Coulson again.
I think John Bernthal has a chance of making a Punisher movie.
You think so?
I do.
Because of the character and because of him?
I do.
Interesting.
I think it's possible. I'm not sure yet because it's building.
He's the best iteration of the Punisher we've had.
But it would also have to be. That means then Disney Marvel would have to commit to doing an R-rated movie because a PG-13 Punisher would be disingenuous.
Yeah.
And Netflix allows them to get violent.
Yeah. But that could be that step for them. I mean,
it
did. Oh, or Punisher maybe, be the thing that'll allow them to finally do an R-rated.
Or like with Deadpool.
Or how about this?
Where it's like this one.
But that's,
this,
that's, or that's or Fox.
I know, but I'm saying they picking up that model and going, let's try this with
I mean, Punisher. Sure. Netflix makes movies.
Yeah, they do.
Why?
They've been producing original movies. Yeah. There's a Will Smith one getting ready to come out in a couple of weeks.
Right. Why can't they do that with John Bernthal? Put it out in theaters.
Do a Netflix movie. Yeah. Well, they don't put their movies. Well, they want to put their movies in theaters. Theaters don't want to play their movies because their movies are available on Netflix the same day they would come out in theaters. Regal doesn't want that, and AMC doesn't want that. And when those two companies control over 50% of theaters in the country, good luck getting your movie to play in a movie theater.
You know what? Bend the knee, make the money.
The theaters?
No, Netflix. Bend the knee. Don't put your Netflix movie on your streaming service for a little while.
Recognize the 90-day window that Amazon recognizes.
Bend the knee. Yeah. Make the money.
I agree, too. I think I'm all for
it. It would not make me cancel my subscription to Netflix if I had to wait 90 days.
No. Yeah, and yes, I agree. Yeah. And I'm all for preserving the theatrical experience. I love going to a movie theater. No. So.
It wouldn't be a deal breaker for me. I'd go see the movie.
Exactly.
If it's a movie I want to see, I will go see it in the theaters and spend my money and enjoy the big screen presentation and then probably watch it on Netflix again.
When it comes out again. Exactly. Maybe. Yeah, sure. Yeah, and you know what's weird? I found now movies that come out straight to Netflix, no matter what the movie is, I'm not finding any urgency.
No.
To turn on Netflix and see it. Whereas when a movie comes out in theaters...
I gotta go.
I have to see it personally. I have to see it opening weekend. Because the next weekend, another movie's come out. If I don't see it opening weekend, then the chances are I'm never going to get around to it. And then I have to wait for DVD. Whereas when it's on Netflix, I've yet to see War Machine. I've yet to see... what's that one? I can't remember the name of it. And Billy reviewed it. There's a bunch of... There's one called Mudbound that's supposed to be great.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I saw the
title, right? It's supposed to be fantastic. Like, people are going to be nominated for awards and shit. It's not even on my list.
No.
Let alone sit down and watch it. So, anyway. Here we go. Let's wrap up the show now. Time for... Where is my... Oh, here we are. Lightning round questions.
Do it.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Here we go. I got 10 questions. You've done this before. You know how it goes. I need 10 answers. These are questions for you. Numbers 81 through 90.
81 through 90.
Yeah, that sounds about right. All right, here we go. Number one. How many wrinkles are there in Chico's brain?
There are about 19, but there's different sub-wrinkles within those wrinkles.
Sub-wrinkles.
Each wrinkle holds a category, and then within those categories, there are several sub-wrinkles.
Okay.
And though the sub-wrinkles have sub-wrinkles, and then at some point, my anxiety kicks in, and I try and stretch them all out.
You smooth them all out. Number two, bottle rockets or battle royales?
Bottle Rockets.
Number three, SummerSlam or Survivor Series.
Ooh, Survivor Series, but Classic Edition.
Classic. 4-on-4, right?
4-on-4 doesn't have to be any kind of teams. Like, doesn't have to be Team Raw, right? Team this. God, so no, give me 4-on-4 people that put themselves together.
Yes.
Because they have an urge to beat the villains.
And then it was, you get pinned, you leave. And then it comes down to four against three, four against two. God, that was so good.
And special names.
And they all have team names.
Yeah, they have team names.
So much more fun. Number four, do you own any Nutcrackers?
I do not.
Number five, how would you spend $5 at McDonald's?
I would get a McDouble, a McChicken, and a medium Powerade, which would bring me to about four and change.
Right, yeah, well done. Good call on the McDouble. People don't know, the McDouble, double cheeseburger is more expensive, mm-hmm. but a McDouble is the same thing, just one less piece of cheese. You don't need that extra cheese. Extra just get cheese. The McDouble. Number six, who is your favorite Real Housewife?
Never, ever. Nikki.
All right, there's definitely a Nikki in there. Number seven, stuffed French toast, yay or nay?
Yes.
Number eight.
Stuff anything.
All right. Number eight, have you ever gone bungee jumping?
No.
Number nine, where is the best cheeseburger in town?
Oh, I am a big fan of Johnny's Filling Station. So I would say Johnny's Filling Station.
We gotta add it to the burger, honestly, Drew. Number 10.
Never gonna end.
Should Texas secede from the Union or should we just kick him out?
I think Texas just needs to fucking chill.
Just chill.
Just chill, Texas.
Just chill, Texas. Swag baggery, let's go. Drew, break out the bags. What do we got? Red bag, green bag. Which one do you want?
Well, let's go with the red.
Yes, red. Red is so stimulating. Let's see, Drew, break it out.
Sir, you may get to go home with a Cars 3 puzzle in a tube.
Woo!
Oh my god.
We've got 6 confetti balloons for your next party.
Yeah.
Warning, they are choking hazard for children under 8.
Oh, great.
So keep them away from your
kids.
We got
some blue mouth gum candy. So, you know, it turns your mouth blue.
Oh, this is going to have a lot of use.
You're supposed to give it to someone else. Don't,
okay,
just,
okay.
Yeah. Don't do it. Don't just turn your own mouth.
We've got Cinema Crespediso bootleg editions of La Bamba, Ballistics X versus Sever, and The Bad News Bears.
Yes, classics, all of them.
We've got hang on, what is this? Which one? It's Pokemon Sun and Moon Burning Shadows. Yes. Got 3 additional game cards.
Yes.
A triangle of Jelly Bellies. I don't know what flavor they may or may not
just
be.
Just random Jelly Bellies donated by... who gave us the Jelly Bellies?
Curtis
Earth brought us some jelly beans. Nice. You can take all that home, Chico, or we put the bag away. Yeah, take what we have in the box. What are we here? What's in the box? We got the bag. We got the box.
What's in the fucking box?
We got the bag.
Let's do the box.
We're doing the box.
I don't do the box enough.
Pop that top. Reach in there. And let everyone know what's inside.
There is nothing in the box.
What?
Literally... Nothing in the box.
Good job, dude.
Congratulations, you won nothing.
You won nothing.
There's nothing.
All right, well, you got zonked, Chico. You're the one who got zonked after all this time. It was bound to happen.
You know,
it was bound to
happen. Eventually,
it was
would
bound
happen.
To happen. Yeah. There was not. Just in case you want to know,
nothing. Literally, it was an empty box.
So shocked that there was nothing in the box.
I forgot to put some.
It's fine. I like being the nothing in the box guy. I want to be nothing in the box forever.
All right.
Not only am I 10 episodes now.
I'm nine.
But I am the only person that gets nothing.
You got the nothing.
You got the nothing. Tom has the tie.
Tom, dear guy, has a tie. You got the nothing. Unique guest for Cinema Crespi. So
if you're ever on the show, there is a possibility that you have nothing.
There's a possibility
in the box.
We'll definitely go on a magnet. Make sure we get this guy his magnet. Yeah. Chico, thank you for joining us, sir.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. I love the show. I love you guys.
No, you're the man.
I love you guys too. Don't love each other as much anymore.
No, we don't love each other. But
we never did.
But we both
but
love
I,
you.
I love you.
Oh, yes. You thank you so much.
I hate all you fuckers.
Thank you, Drew. We appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem.
And thank you everyone for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Make sure you break up the big banks. Break up the big banks. Read more books. Be excellent to each other. Free Mumia, Abu, Jamal. And you guys let net neutrality go away. So go fuck yourself.
A PFT Media production.